Sing me a song of her sake.
Release shoot for the sun, and break on through.
So you're blind.
So you're blind, you'll be fine, we've got to.
Let's bow our heads and pray for blessing. First, we want to remember those of our NFB family that have passed throughout the year. Give comfort to those that remain, that the people that have passed, we are grateful for the fact that they walked their lives with us. And now, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehegiyanu V'Kiyemanu V'Higiyanu LaZman HaZeh. Thank you. Give us health enough to perform our daily tasks, wealth enough to answer our needs, compassion enough to feel the needs of others. Give us faith enough to overcome all fears of the future and hope enough to feel your presence. Amen.
Amen. There should be a flag behind the American flag. There's not. Let's pretend there's an American flag. Let's all rise. Let's all rise and salute our nation. Just face. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing. We're going to do the NFB pledge together. All right? Let's go. Let's start it.
I pledge to participate actively in the efforts of the National Federation of the Blind to achieve equality, opportunity, and security, to support the policies and programs of the Federation, and to abide by its constitution.
Thank you very much. That deserves a door prize?
Yeah.
Yes.
In a moment. Please be seated. Mary Stamp, you're on. Oh, James, you already know about that. It's the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us the freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us the right to assemble. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. The veteran who honors the flag. The veteran who serves under the flag. No matter where they serve, God bless them all. God bless America. I hope. Let's do a door prize.
Yes.
This is some fun.
All right. So I got a quick one here.
You have a microphone over there or no?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to scream. We have a bottle of perfume, a mug with a box of hot chocolate mix, and a 2019 Braille issue of the Harvard Health Magazine.
Oh, Harvard Health.
Kayla Richardson here.
She can't hear you. Kayla Richardson.
She will be here later.
Here comes Brian.
Just so you know, be on your best behavior. We are streaming this. Say hello to our people watching us. Hello, everybody. Hello. How many first timers are here? Give me a yell.
Yes.
How many two timers are here? Woo! yeah, that's Mary. You don't always tell me Mary is just that last one. I'm going to turn this over to, we have a host chapter, which is the Northern Chapter. Let's hear it for the Northern Chapter. And we have host divisions, simply because Jane is involved with both of them, and she's president of both. Senior Technology has helped us this time, too. Let's hear it. And then we have to be respectful to remember to turn your phones off. That'd be very kind of you to do that, because I don't want to get any feedback from Linda Melendez. Make sure you shut those phones off. She sat down. She's still in code green?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Let me turn it over to Jane. We did this song about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, we brought it back. For those that didn't remember, then it's a brand new song for you. Do you remember it? Good. Here we go. Listen to the words, some good meaning behind it.
Before we start that, I just want to remind you that today is the 30th year anniversary of the crumbling of the Berlin Wall. Wow. How prophetic is that? So may our walls also crumble and we feel hope with each other.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
The NFB stands for security, white cane and guide dog for mobility, can do, security, we can do, security, we can do, sing with us, can do, security. Security, we can do that again. Security, we can do to can do, can do, can do. Very good. We got the NFB stands for equality. If I can do the job, then you should hire me. Can do, can do. Equality, we can do. There you got it. Equality, we can do. Opportunity. If you don't have Newsline, see Scott or me. Can do, opportunity, opportunity, we can do, opportunity, we can do, big finish. Security, quality, opportunity. We got the end.
Growing up in our house, we were kids. We had, you know, one TV. We fought over it, so we made up songs.
Did you ever fight?
I sang when everybody had to eat dinner. They all left us. That's why. Very good. Leah's here.
Yeah.
Come on up with your scholarship winners. We want to introduce them in a moment. V, get some door prizes lined up. You ready?
Yep.
Should we do a door prize, everybody?
Yeah.
All right. They said no. Well, wait. No. Okay. Go for it.
We have a brown travel mug and $25 from the Capital Chapter.
Nice.
Is Ed Godfrey in the room? Oh, yay. 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 Yay.
And for those of you who were at the party last night, if you weren't there, we did pick out a name for the vendor room, and that person is going to win next year's registration. Friday night dinner and banquet, and that was Gregory Keane. So when we say Keane, we'll tell a little bit more. So let me know, Lee, when you're up here.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Want to come behind with your microphone?
No, I got one.
Oh, there you go. Very good.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Leah Stone, and I'm the chair of this year's scholarship committee, and I'm very happy to introduce the 2019 National Federation of the Blind New Jersey Scholarship Class. So, okay, I could talk, but I've spoken a lot already. So, I'm going to pass my phone down and ask that each scholarship recipient introduce themselves, their name, their major, and their school.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mary Fernandez. I am currently obtaining my master's in business administration at Duke University in North Carolina.
Hi, everyone. My name is Natasha. I'm a freshman at TCNJ, and I am currently a physics major with a minor in law politics.
Well, my name is Amy Albin. I'm a junior at Montclair State University. I'm pursuing a bachelor's degree in psychology.
All right.
My name is John Philbin. I'm a senior at TCNJ. All right, I'm pursuing a bachelor's degree in communication studies.
Hello, my name is Henry Young. I'm currently attending Duke University, pursuing a double major in computer science and political science.
All right.
And just to add, Amy is so modest. Amy is also a 2019 National Scholarship. Hear from all of them in much more detail tonight at the banquet.
Thank you. Very nice. Let's do a door prize and then we'll get into the meat and potatoes. Always food, always food.
Okay. So this next door prize, we have a gift certificate for custom cane valued up to $120, so you can get a new cane and $10 from the At Large chapter. And that's going to Kathy Butler.
She got a prize? Okay. I pledge to participate actively in the National Federation of the Blind. I've heard those words so many times. You are here today cost you some money to get here, some time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you'll get involved. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you're here. Mm-hmm. Someone may have invited you. Mm-hmm. You may have been curious to see what this is all about. We are a family of federations. We'll hear later this afternoon from a, quote, old-timer, and I mean that with respect, Mr. Rick Fox, who has been a member of this organization before most of you were born, since 1971. How many people in this room... How many people in this room were born after 1971? As I said, he's an old-timer. And we'll be hearing on that panel from a kind of a new guy. He's been in the Federation for a few years, Jonathan Zoback. We are fortunate to have a gift in this organization. The gift of the Federation. We give. We imagine. We provide you with a foundation. And the T is our talents. Your talents. Our talents. Give the gift of the Federation to other people. I bet if I took a survey right now and asked this question. Well, you know what? I'm going to take a survey right now and ask this question. How many people in this room were invited or told about the Federation from another member? Say hi.
Hi.
And you're here. So it's pretty important for you to have been invited. Then why are we keeping this organization a secret?
Right.
Why aren't we telling everyone about the gift of the Federation?
Right. Right.
I always say each one bring one. Aaliyah taught me something different yesterday. She said, each one bring three. I'm always willing to learn. But it's so true. This is a gift of hope, love, and determination. We can do this. I always write a speech, and I always read it over a few times, and then I shut it off and speak from my heart, which I'm going to do today. I'm shutting my speech off. And I'm going to give you my speech from my heart. I've been doing this now for 26 years as your state president. I made an announcement last year.
I'm proud of you.
We love you too. So that's what it's all about, the love for each other. Yes. It's like a family. Sometimes you love your brothers and sisters. Another day you might say, oh boy. We are a family. We stick together. We help each other out. We're here for a reason, to teach and learn, and learn and teach. If you leave this meeting this weekend and go home and don't share with somebody else, shame on you. Shame on you. Give the gift of the Federation.
Yeah.
How many people in this room are members of the chapter or division? Say aye.
Aye.
How many people are not? I mean, there might be some new timers out there. How many people are not? Everybody's a member in the chapter and division. Being a member is just that, being a member. But how are you a member? Do you get involved in fundraising? Do you make the phone calls when asked to phone your congressman or your senator? We talked about this so many times. It takes about 2 minutes to make a phone call. And how many minutes are there in a day? If you can't find 2 minutes to make a phone call, shame on you. If they don't hear from us, they, meaning the politicians, they will think everything is all well and good. Our voices need to be heard. We had a chance to express our voices yesterday at the vocational rehab focus group, and that was very well attended, and your words were heard, and Amanda could really type fast.
Yes.
It was great. So we're here today. Yes, as I said, it's my 26th time as your state president. Next year, I'll be stepping down. Your president.
Oh.
No, don't say oh, because we're moving forward. Mm-hmm. With your help and support, we need to continue forward. Sometimes when there's a change, there's a slippage sometimes, and things fall back a little bit. And if that happens, I did not do my job well. It should continue moving forward. And most of you may know who I'm leaning on to take this National Friends by New Jersey to that next generation. The leadership of Miss Linda Melendez. Secret with Linda is keep her in code green. That's the secret. And so far, Linda, you're what we learned from each other. And what I love about this organization is your love for each other. This past year, we had our After the Holidays party in January. We have done 10 of those in a row. This year, we're not having one on a state level, although the central chapter has picked up the slack. We'll be having one January 4th at the Joseph Cone Trade Center. You'll hear more about that later on, and we'll get an email to everybody. In late January, we went to Washington Seminar. How many people here went to Washington Seminar last year? Say aye. How many people have been to Washington Seminar? Say aye. Very good. Excellent. We do that again, but this year, not in January, we do it in February. Last year, in April, we had our first annual, our first annual comedy night, which netted almost $3,000 to help people get to this convention. So put your hands together and applaud yourselves for coming up. We did comedy by Dr. Robert Ruffalo. He was here last year and did some auction stuff for us. Notice the last name. He's our younger brother, Jane and I's younger brother. And we also had Jane and Rick do some music last year. Remember that?
Yes.
They did great. And see, once you do it once, you're hired for life. That's your job for life. We had Joey Bacon. Joe Bacon did some singing. And we had another comic from New York City, a blind guy who works on Wall Street. He's pretty good. Yeah. And we had some fun. We're going to do it again this year. Mark your calendars down. You'll be getting an email or two from me. I know I've been slacking up with my emails. I'll try to keep them going out there. March 28th from 1 to 5. It's an afternoon event. Some of you had some difficulties getting your transportation. And we'll more about that in the future. We are looking into, again, it's on the drawing board. I did talk to Dr. Davis up here.
I am.
Oh, there you are. And we talked about this. We need to talk some more. But we'd love to get the staff of the New Jersey Commission for the Blind, as many as we can fit to a bus, down to the center. They need to see our center.
Right.
They need to see what's there. How we can work together to make a difference. So we're going to work on that right back there. It's affirmative. Oh, yes. Okay. No, we're going to work on it. If it happens in spring or in fall, it will happen. We're also waiting to hear from a grant that Linda wrote. And if we get this grant, it's a definite. If we don't get the grant, it's a definite. We're going to be going down to, well, I have to check on dates with Mr. Ricabono. Are you listening, Mr. Mark? Hello. It's about 9 conventions this weekend. So but we're planning on going down to Baltimore. We hope the last weekend in May for a leadership membership meeting, seminar, shall we say. We'll take some of our board members down, some of our chapter leaders down, and some newbies down. Because we need to get ready to pass that torch. Rumor has it we are getting older. Some of our presidents are getting older, and we need to pass that torch to that next generation. That's one way of doing it. Then we have in July, you'll hear more about it from our national rep, Mr. Sean Calloway, about our national convention, which will be in Houston. That's all I'm going to say. Let him tell you the rest. And we have our Bell program, which we're going to move up, I think, 2 weeks earlier. And you'll hear more about that at about 11:30. Some Bell kids hopefully will be here. Yep. And so that takes care of the summer pretty much. We'll be doing another surfing event in August. I did the first two. And let me tell you something, the Atlantic Ocean is very salty. And very ice out when I smoke. Is that Mary? Yes, always. Very salty, please. Anyway, so we'll be doing that again, hopefully. Two cackling hens up front. Next door prize is a dozen fresh eggs. I know, that's not good. Maybe I may have to put you back in the room. So it's, in September starts, you know, our fall activities, planning for meet the playing month activities and those kind of things. And of course we have a convention next year, 2020 convention. We hope to have it. Do you like this hotel?
Yes!
Do we have it here next year?
Yes!
Well, we have to negotiate some prices. You know, each year prices do go up. And so we have to talk about that. We may have a surprise where the price may go down. But that is the negotiation why it goes down. So you give a little, get a little. So we'll talk about that. And then in December, we'll be discussing Washington seminar. So the time really flies when you're active in the Federation. There's something for everyone. Absolutely. We do fundraising throughout the year. You'll hear our fundraising report on Sunday. But I want to take time out right now to thank Ellen Sullivan and her committee of everyone. She has contacted Boscov so many times that she's part of the staff now. But she's persistent. And the only way we have success in what we do, yes, we need a leader. Of course we do. But more importantly, we need people to pull that wagon up the hill. So everyone who has participated in any of our fundraising, the grocery stores and the like, and the Boscovs, and at the comedy night, applaud yourself. You guys did a great job. Excuse me for one moment that my throat is dry. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to hear me, so you know, I might get a award for that.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I remember reading some, but you never take a drink of water on video. Sorry, streamers. So we have a lot happening, a lot that still needs to happen. We need to hear from our members. What would you like us to do for you and what you can do for us? It's not a one-man show. Joe, your convention was wonderful. I said, no, it wasn't. What do you mean? It's not my convention. It's our convention.
Yeah.
That's what counts. Oh, Ryan, your chapter meeting notes were great. And they are. But it takes a lot of people to put the notes together and the agenda together. Not just that, many of our chapters are really shaping up with their minutes. Some are long, Joe Ruffalo, and others. But we, you know, they are called minutes for a reason. They're not called hours. So we have so much information to give that we want to share with as many people as possible. When you get your emails, how many see, oh, from Joe, delete. How many people do that? Be honest.
I read them.
Some people read them and some people don't because, you know, it takes time to write these things and get them out. So please read them and then delete them if you have to. All right? I also want to thank those who have worked on the sounding board this past year. You know, when Kathy Gaby took over the sounding board, I forget what year it was. I asked her for a favor. Kathy, I need a favor from you. Uh-oh. What's the favor? Well, John Carroll's son, who was editing it, the sounding board before that, Jane's daughter Rachel did it. These were teenagers. But anyway, Rachel was about 12 when I let her do the sounding board. It was great. And I sat there with her. We edited it together. But she was a fast typers. 11-year-old kid, my first sounding board ever did. I brought it to a meeting, and the board loved it. The layout, Joe, this is great. Who did you have do this? I said, my niece, she wants to be a journalist someday. And they thought she was in college, right? So when I said, yeah, for an 11-year-old, what, 11? She can't, we will not allow this. I said, well, wait a minute. If she can do the job, why not? If you're blind and can do the job, why not? So why do we discriminate against this little kid who's 11 years old who poured heart and soul into it? And they said, you're right. So she did it for 20 years. Oh, after John did it, that's right. You know, let me digress a little history here. By doing the sounding board, it opened up a lot of doors for this 11-year-old kid. She ended up submitting it, or I don't know how it all happened, but she ended up being on the Ricky Lake show, holding up the sounding board. She ended up being in a calendar for Sears, kids calendar. And for being in the kids calendar, she got $1,000 to give to her favorite local organization. And at our banquet, she handed me $1,000 check. Oh. We give back to our organization. All good stuff. But when John had to go to Brown University, he didn't have to go there. That's a sort of story. But he wrote to me and said, you know, look, let's put it this way. Going to any Ivy League school, everyone who applies gets in are smart people. They're probably all members of the National Honor Society. All graduated 1, 2, 3 in her class. All have a lot of extra activities. But John's was different. He even told me this. He submitted the 25th anniversary issue of the Sounding Board. It was a really good issue. Glossy cover. And I may have this backwards a little bit, but I think he got a handwritten note from one of the deans of admission and said, I'm very impressed. You're in. Something like that. Is Carol in the room?
I am.
Something like that, Carol.
They wrote something like, we are so happy to grant admission to someone who's so involved in such a good cause with the community. So it's just
beautiful. Yeah. So with that, he told me that, and he says, John, you deserve to be there. But if we helped you to get there, that's fine. So I said, so when you get out, get a job, 10% of your pay goes to where? He said, get it from my mom. But I asked Kathy, Kathy, do me a favor. Uh-oh. John's on his way to college. Can you do the sounding board for 1 year? Joe, I'm very busy. I know that's why I'm only asking you to do it for a year. I was in 2004 or 5 or something like that, and she's still doing it. So thank you, Kathy.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Again, she's getting older. And I'm proud to say that because she is getting older. And so we're going to be looking for some new help with the sounding board, maybe a new design, a new feature. And in your input, I mean, what you're looking for. It's a really class magazine we put out twice a year. It's on the internet. It goes to a lot of state presidents. Gary Wunder has taken many articles from that and have reprinted it in our newsletter. But who here in this room last year went to Las Vegas?
Yeah!
Who here in this room lost their shirt at the casino? Last year was a great opportunity, and I was very happy to have Dr. Davis and a number of her staff attend the national convention. And as I do with all first-timers, those who win our first-timer scholarship, I asked Dr. Davis the night before our caucus to come upstairs at 7 o'clock in the morning to meet Mr. Riccobono, and she came up with Dr. Dent, maybe some other people too. And at one point, Mark Riccobono says, Joe, you holding your caucus up here? There's 18 people in the room and they're all New Jersey. So I want to thank Dr. Davis for supporting, energizing her staff to come to the convention. This year, I just sent you to Houston, and you'll hear more about that from Mr. Sean in a moment. So I just want to thank my members, and more importantly, can anyone do this job without spouse support? You can't. Mm-mm. You can't. But it's so much easier to have spouse support. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Judy. There's a rumor that she'd be married to this guy up here for 42 happy, wonderful years. Say yes. Just say yes. I'll buy you another handbag. It's all about having fun. And my two sons, Joe and Jim, and their wives have supported me. Let me just go back a minute and I'll end this by saying this. When I first became president in 1993, another woman was president. I got a phone call from President Maurer, and I answered the phone. Good morning, Joe Ruffalo. And he said, good morning, Mr. President. I said, no, I'm vice president. And he cleared his throat and said, good morning, Mr. President. I said, I know he's blind. He's hard of hearing. I know it. No, not just true. Nothing wrong with being that way. I didn't mean it that way. My face red for the camera. So again, he said, let me say this again to you. I said, what's that? Good morning, Mr. President. Let me read this letter to you. And I'll paraphrase. Dear Mr. Maurer, I resign, blah, blah, blah. Then he said, good morning, Mr. President. I said, good morning, Mr. Maurer. So I was pushed into it. That was much different in 1993 than it is today.
Oh, yeah.
We had two chapters and one division. That's what we had. So we had to build. And build we did. Our convention that year was in April in 1994 in Atlantic City. Oh, can we go back to Atlantic City? We want rooms for $195 a night, and I might be able to do it. So Atlantic City was one and done. But it gave me 6 months to tell the membership and tell Mr. Maurer, this is a 6-month internship. I'm going to see if I like it and can do it and want to do it. And the members will see if I want to do it, if they like it. 26 years, you're voting me in. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So with all that said, who here in this room is under membership?
Everyone
is under the membership. Everybody. You guys learn fast. Who here in this room is on the fundraising committee?
Everybody.
I love this. Who here is on the legislation committee?
Everybody.
Who is here to raise money for Joe Ruffalo's retirement?
No one.
But you know, I like to have fun.
No.
But I'm very serious when I need to be. This is serious business. Changing people's attitudes. Changing people's lives. There used to be a radio show on late at night. CYA, CYA. Change your attitude, change your life. So with that said, in summary, I want to thank everyone for your support over the years. As you know, we are an organization that believes in each other. And when believing in each other, there is no stopping us.
Now. Yeah!
Everybody up! Thank you. Door prize, yes.
Door prize.
So, Liz, next door prize, we have a book all about the Beatles, $10 Amazon gift card, a little thing of men's cologne, and a Braille pocket calendar. Is Brian McGrath in the room?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Brian.
Remind you, must be in this room to win. Not, oh, she just went to the bathroom or she's on her way. She just texted me. She's all stuffed up. You gotta be in the room. Unless I put you on an assignment.
Yeah,
oh. If I say, you know, let's say I sent somebody out to go get something, then they.
He is here.
If it's a really good prize, then it goes back to me.
Brian is here.
You know what we didn't do?
Here, Brian.
We do this at national. Let's give one big giant federation cheer. Let's hear it for everybody. One, two, three. Introduce you to a colleague of mine, a friend of us all in this room. I met this young man a few years ago, before he became on the board, and I saw in him, and many of us did this too, saw in him leadership, compassion, a willingness to teach and learn, and that he has done. He is a brother of mine. I said he serves on the board with me. He's here with his lovely wife, woo, Tanya,
yeah,
and his lovely four-year-old queen.
Yes.
Queen, Camille is here in the room?
No, she's not here.
Not here, yeah, okay. Cartoons are more important for her this morning. I'm playing. If I could, joke, choice, hear you speak and watch cartoons, I watch cartoons.
Yeah.
I don't go right into your room to watch cartoons. Stay wherever you are. But Sean has been a member of the board for a number of years. He's here to give our national report. Ladies and gentlemen, our brother, Sean Calloway.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before coming to this convention, got a call from a fellow Federationist and they said, where are you going, John, this weekend? I said, well, I'll be the national rep for the National Federation of Blind of New Jersey. I said, boy, get ready. Because that's a lively bunch. And lively you are. Had a good time last night. First time I've ever been on a dance floor at a convention in a long time. it was a wonderful time. I'm paying for it right now. but it's worth it. Also, before I begin, I should have ran it by you first, but I want to acknowledge the death of one Don Capps. Now, those of you who don't know, Don Capps is a long-time Federationist. Passed away last week, I believe, at the age of 91. He single-handedly built the South Carolina affiliate to what it is today, to the point where they have a center and a camp, right? Rocky Bonney Camp. He was a phenomenal person and a builder of the Federation. So I just want to take the time to acknowledge him as well. You know, cannot make every convention. I'm saying, anyway, I'm dropping my cane off. I'm sorry. Don't hit her yet. But he can't, as we all know, he cannot make it. So he sent me, and I'm glad he did, but he sends his greetings to you all. Now, one of the things he did tell me to let you know is that he wants to know what's going on, not just from Joe, right, in regards to what, the great things that are going on in the dirt, but he wants to know things that are going on from you as well. He doesn't mind hearing from you, right? So if you want to contact him, you can email him at officeofthepresident@nfb.org, or feel free to call him at 410-659-9314. Right. So he told me to pass that message along to you. Also, greetings from our immediate past president, Dr. Mahler. For those of you who thought he would take a step back and not do anything,
yeah.
He is still assisting the president in some of our legal efforts that we have going on within the Federation. So Dr. Mahler is, trust me, alive and well. And he's very active, along with his beautiful wife, Mrs. Patricia Mahler. All right? Now, many of you have heard about our upcoming convention. Now, again, I'm just on my thunder a little bit, but I want to hear it again. How many of you were in Las Vegas? Well, I had a good time. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty excited when I knew we were going to Las Vegas, but it was an enjoyable time, a wonderful convention. Matter of fact, we had 3,284 attendees. That's a lot of folks. Now, do you know what the record is in terms of convention attendees?
No. 3,284.
Somebody said 3,000 what?
284?
No, that's what it was there this year, but it's actually 3,300.
Whoa.
So we were 16 short of tying the record, of course, 17 short of passing the record. Now, this year, no, well, next year in 2020, we'll be in Houston, Texas.
Yay. Yay.
By the way, if you thought it was hot in Vegas, you wouldn't. It is hot there.
It is.
But now, for those of you who have not heard, the convention dates have been changed.
Yes.
Now, it will be held from July 14th through July 19th. Which means you'll be home for 4th of July.
Yeah!
And one thing I know about Jersey, right, as I mentioned many of you, I spent some summers, quite a few summers in South Jersey. I love Jersey during the 4th of July. It's a beautiful time to be here. And so you get to stay home for 4th of July instead of being at our national convention, right? So again, this is in Houston, Texas, and Norma Crosby, who's the affiliate president of Texas, I'm telling you, she's a beautiful person, so I know they're going to lay out the red carpet for us as Federation. So get ready, and I hope many of you will be there at our convention. All right? Now, in regards to building the Federation, we're now having teleconference calls every third Sunday of each even month and every third Wednesday of odd month. Okay? So these teleconferences are to really help those individuals who are not Federationists to help understand what our organization is all about. You know, you talk about misconceptions of blindness. Well, there's been misconceptions about the Federation for years, right? To the point I didn't want to join the Federation, quite honestly. Because I was told you were rapping. Sometimes you gotta learn for yourself before you take someone else's opinion or judgment of an organization. So this is why these teleconference calls are extremely important. Now to get the actual time, you can go to nfb.org, and also, I know President Ruffalo has that information that he can pass on to the chapters and members as well. Also, we have a new onboarding kit for those chapters as well to solicit new letters to new members who actually joined the organization, and also just information about membership in general within the organization. So, now, last month was Meet the Blind Month. Now, mm-hmm. did any of you participate in Meet the Bible?
Yeah.
Now, my humble opinion, I think Joe agrees with this as well. Meet the Blind Month should never stop. Right. We should have Meet the Blind Month activities all year.
Yeah.
So you should always be going out to community events, and, speaking at your schools, or local schools, speaking to your legislature, all the time. Right? Matter of fact, one of my favorite speaking engagements is when we do with the career fairs at those schools. Right? So you could go to the school and talk about what the Federation is all about. So Meet the Blind Month should never stop. You should always be out there promoting blindness in general, but also the good work of the Federation. Now, also speaking of promotion, we do have radio ads now in Spanish and in English. Well, we always had it in English, but now we have them in Spanish. So please go to nfb.org for more information about how you can get those ads out to your local radio station so we can pass the good word about Federation to not only our English speaking community but our Spanish speaking community as well. Now, we also have a lot of surveys, ladies and gentlemen. And these surveys, I know you hate telemarketers. Any telemarketers anybody? but surveys are very important to the Federation. They are. So, for example, any guide dog users in the house?
Yeah.
Okay, we got a few, all right. So we have a survey for Uber and Lyft testers in regards to guide dogs, right? Guide dog users. Because, quite honestly, there are still some Lyft drivers, Uber drivers, who are not being too kind to our guide dog users, right? So you need to report that. Right? Report the information that you have received from these drivers in regards to how you've been treated. So you can go to nfb.org or contact Valerie England, by the way, in regards to surveys such as the Uber and Lyft survey in regards to treatment of those of you who are guide dog users. Also, are you familiar with GoDaddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes they're not too good either, but if you have any sort of problem with GoDaddy, ZipRecruiter, Indeed, we have surveys for you as well to fill out in regards to your usage of these particular websites. Next up, parents' rights bill. Now, as a blind parent myself, I'm ecstatic to hear that New Jersey is going to be pursuing have this bill passed within your legislature. Now, there was last night, or yesterday, there was I heard several different numbers in terms of the number of states who have passed this bill. But I was informed it's 12. Alabama, Arizona, Connecticut, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Missouri, Maryland, Nevada, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah. But you know who number 13 is going to be?
New Jersey.
So I am looking forward for that information to come down that New Jersey has had this bill passed to protect the rights of blind parents within the state of New Jersey. Now, our Washington seminar will be held during the week of February 10th. The great gathering is on February 10th. How many of you plan to attend?
Yeah.
Right. Very important. Now, some of our legislative priorities, we're coming back to our Access Technology Affordability Act, which means you'll get a tax credit for these expensive assistive technology devices that are out there. So you'll get a tax credit, you can write it off on the taxes. We have our Disability Employment Act, which will address some of the outdated and antiquated procedures that help people with disabilities get jobs within our society, especially within the federal government. For those of you who are familiar with the federal government, there's a process called Schedule A, which you can use to apply for employment within the government, but again, that's getting a little old. So Federation is working to change that. And of course, transitioning into integrative and competitive employment. Now, of course, that 14C certificate is still lingering out there. We need to really get rid of that. For those of you who do not know, there are still individuals with disabilities out there being paid less than minimum wage, which is pretty wild to me. And let me just say this, I'm always, I, I don't know, being an advocate, you get into disagreement with folks. Some people feel this is okay. Right? This is, well, you know, they wouldn't get a job anywhere otherwise. So, you know, just get them out of the house. But do you know sometimes these companies who pay people sometimes as much as $2 to $3 an hour, they're getting $60 or $70 an hour to pay them $3.
Woo!
Right? What we call a shelter workshop. Now, I don't know what you call that. I call that exploitation and slavery.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, you know I can't step from this podium without telling you that we had to sue somebody. Generation, all we got to sue somebody. Now, we're not avalanche chasers. This is what we don't want to go around just suing people. But when you discriminate against us, this is what we're going to do. Now, one unlikely defendant that we're suing is the IRS.
Oh.
I would have sued myself, but we are, right? Reason being, and this is the wild part, right? They're sending tax bills, right, to individuals who are blind, right, in regular print.
Yep.
Now, if you want your money and you know they're blind, why would you do that? That does not make sense to me at all. Right? So we are suing them to make sure that they sit. You know, personally, yes. This don't send me nothing. but I think the sad part about it is that they know that these individuals are blind, but yet you will send them this information directly in front. So we're working to help change, correct that sort of inaccessible situation. And also, the Maryland Board of Elections is being sued as well because they want to give us paper ballots, right? Which makes no sense at all. Because I want my vote to be private, right?
That's right.
I want my vote to be private, just like everyone else.
Yes.
So, yes, we are suing them as well. Next up, I just want to make an announcement that our NFB scholarship applications are now out. Now, one thing about Jersey, my gosh, I sit on the scholarship committee. Boy, y'all turn out a lot of scholarship applicants. Mary knows there's a lot of confidential. But one thing we love when we're on the committee is Joe's letters. His recommendation letters are hilarious. Okay. Attention. but when he says that means, he knows that this person is a good candidate for a scholarship. But again, you've had several, my goodness, and I've been on scholarship committee for like 5 or 6 years. I think y'all have had one every year.
Yeah.
I mean, every year you pull someone out of here to receive a scholarship. So again, we award 30 scholarships to 30 deserving blind students. And, so again, applications are now open. And so I'm sure Joe will pass out that information along with his scholarship committee chair. Also, real quick, y'all have had a couple bail programs here, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Six this year.
Well, there are 30 affiliates joining you with these bail programs, and we had over 300 different bail programs, which is outstanding. And so this program continues to grow. For those of you who are new, that's Braille Enrichment and Literacy and Learning.
Yes. Yes.
Literacy and Learning. So these are outstanding programs that have been going on for years. And you know, sometimes in our school systems, our children are not getting that Braille instruction that they need. So we try to introduce them to Braille and the importance of Braille. And also, they do fun activities within these programs as well. So I don't think Braille children who participate in this program. They don't leave bored at all.
Mm-hmm.
They don't leave bored. They leave having a good time and leave with a lot of goodies. Like in our Braille program, they leave with goodies, but they are leftovers, and I take those. I take it. So, but I mean, it's not illegal. Huh? What you want, just leave me? I'm going to take it. Also, we have our Braille Pal, sort of our Braille Braille Power Readers program and also Early Explorers program. This is to assist parents and work with their children in regards to the importance of Braille, but also the importance of cane traveling. And I understand y'all had a cane traveling activity here this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was stuck in this room listening to different things that was going on, but I didn't get a chance to participate, man. That's great. The importance of mobility and cane travel is extremely important because it's about independence. I don't know about you. I don't want to be dependent on anybody.
No.
Cane travel and the white cane is extremely important for us not to be dependent on anyone as blind people.
That's right.
You know, so also, Independence Market. We have a wonderful market down at our national office where you can get some outstanding products for, you know, for the blind. I'm sure they sell those Uno cards there as well, but they have other devices, games, high blood pressure devices, anything you want in regards to blindness and blindness products, Independence Market has those. You can again call 410-659-9314, place an order by phone. I know right now, Jim, you still in? You at srnsb.org? You still ordering? Not right now. Okay. Okay, they're doing it. Okay, all right. So just give them a call if you would like to acquire some products as well. Now, one of the things I know we got some creative people in here doing some wonderful things, and you heard about our Braille monitor. Now, I wonder if it's always looking for stories about what's going on in the blind community, not only with this organization itself, but with you. So if you have a story that you would like to tell in regards to your life as a blind person, contact Gary Wonder, gwonder@nfb.org. You know, the Braille Monitor is our flagship publication. I don't know too many blind organizations who have a publication like the Braille Monitor. I don't know any, quite honestly. So if you want to get your writing skills together and write a nice article for the Braille Monitor, please contact Gary Wonder. And again, as a matter of fact, sign up for the Braille Monitor to read some of these wonderful articles that are printed about the blind within our, not only organization, but in our nation as well. Also, Nation's Blind Podcast, right? We have a Nation's Blind Podcast that you can download on your Android or your iPhone that you can listen to, which gives us some wonderful information about the nation, about blindness in general. Also, you have a presidential pen from our president, Mark Riccobono. Also, we have a blog as well, Nation's Blind Blog. You can see some articles in regards to what's going on in the blind community as well. And also, the presidential release. Do you play that within your taxes?
Yes.
That's a good thing. So we have those in English and in Spanish, which is real good. So always check out the presidential release to let you know the goings on within the organization. Now, fundraising. Now, Mr. President, I want to, President, I'm going to say President Riccobono. Right, President Ruffalo.
Yes, sir.
I failed to bring my report in regards to the PAC, but I know Jersey ranks 21st out of 50 affiliates, 52 affiliates. So you're right behind Washington State.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Illinois is right behind you.
Not anymore.
No more.
Try Pennsylvania.
Huh?
Try Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania's behind you?
Yeah.
Oh, now my report is 3 months old. Okay. Oh. Okay. Well, I'm going to say try D.C. as well, possibly. I mean, we're at 25. And I know we made some more contributions. So New Jersey be coming right behind you. And Pennsylvania's coming behind you as well. So get ready. Right. But President Ruffalo, I'll be sure to continue to dig for that information to get this. Okay. So keep that in mind. And the PAC plan is extremely important. Oh, let me say this in my speech tomorrow night. But one of the biggest pet peeves, people who always want to question who gives what to, you know, to the organization, you shouldn't be questioning what someone gives. Giving is giving, right? If a person can give $5, God bless them. Mm-hmm. They can give $200, God bless them. But no one should judge anyone on what they give.
That's right.
Right? If you can give, that's beautiful. And by the way, those $5 donations to the PAC plan, it's more of them than the big ones, quite honestly. It's what drives our movement. So if you make your $5 pledge means nothing, that's not true at all. It means a great deal to the organization, a great deal. So next up, Dreammaker Circle. Y'all want to know what that is?
Yes.
Some people don't like to talk about it, but it's reality. So, before you... Yeah. Before your dreams turn into reality, before you transition from labor to reward, make a decision on being part of the Dreammaker Circle. This means you are donating a portion of your leftovers before you pass on to the organization. Okay, we all want, I'm not making up nothing. We all want to die, right? It is what it is, right? We all want to die. But keep in mind, a lot of organizations around the country, they are really doing good work because of the money that's left behind, right? Left by people who have passed on, right? I'm a part of the Dreammaker Circle as well, right? Because I want the Federation legacy to continue. So if you have an IRA account or insurance policy that you would like to leave to the Federation, you can do that by being a part of the Dreammaker Circle, right? Again, I'm about to creep y'all out with that. But it's inevitable, I guess. So, but it's a wonderful program that is led by our outstanding Patty Chain. And you can contact her at pchain@nfb.org in regards to Dreammaker Circle. Also, understand this affiliate is a part of the Green Drop program. So continue to support that particular program that funds our movement as well. Any questions about that, you can go to Bridget Burke, dburke@nfb.org. Also, I should know this, but Joe, y'all have given away a few cars as well, right?
Oh, yes.
Vehicle donation. But we have that program as well. And so if you know anyone with a beat-down car, right? motor, those little boats, those motor boats, you can give those away. Anyone who wants to give those away, get a nice little tax write-off, have them contact your president, Joe Ruffalo, but also they can go to NFB.org as well and find out how they can make that vehicle donation. So with that said, President Ruffalo, that is my national report, and I thank you for your time. Thank you. That we are, meaning we, the DC affiliate, is home of the Washington Nationals. You are here tonight. You are here to tell Ali. Thank you all.
Thank you, John. Thank you, buddy. Okay, Jane says door prize. Let's give her a door prize. We're giving out a phone, I think.
Jane,
our prize.
We have
Shannon in the room. Shannon, come on up. I'm sorry, babe.
We have a bag of $6 swag and $10 from Sports and Rec to help you get there next year.
Yeah, go Sports and Rec.
Yeah.
And Rosa Santiago in the room.
No, not here.
Oh, what about Warren Knight? Nope.
Knight.
Is anybody here?
Lawrence.
Yeah. And Lawrence.
Ken is in the room?
Yeah.
And Lawrence is here.
Where is he?
Right in front.
Okay. Ken, give us a yell. Come on, buddy. Let's hear a Ken Lawrence yell. Come on, yell.
Ken, I knew you were here.
He was sleeping.
I could have been. One more door prize. Here we go. I better do an auction. Alan, you have a new auction in here?
Yeah,
sure. Oh, bring me up two. We'll do two quick. We're a little ahead of schedule.
Sonia.
So we have a deck of Braille Uno cards and a pair of women's slippers. And that is going to Bonnie Barnett.
think it's one of the fake names I gave him. I don't know. Henry McGillicuddy? No, no.
What about, oh, I'm going to butcher this name, Diana Leo Mommen?
Nobody's here. One more, then save it.
One okay. More. What about Arlene Jones?
Arlene Jones? No, she's coming later.
Do one more.
So, wait a minute, who's running this show? You're running this show. Should we do one more?
Yes!
One more game!
What about Nina Green?
Yes! Nina Green! You know, I like to say there's three things that I try to do as your president. I try to educate, supposed to educate myself so I can educate others. I try to motivate myself so I can motivate others. And the third thing I do is aggravate.
Yes.
What I mean by aggravate is to keep giving you the information that you need. So you can believe in yourself.
Yeah.
So I'll continue to aggravate you as much as I can.
All right.
One of my hobbies. I love to play. With us today is a young man all the way from, guess where? Hawaii. Well, not really. Actually, he's not from Philadelphia. But it sounds so impressive to others in the audience, especially to Dr. David. He came all the way from Hawaii to come to your convention. Well, kind of.
Sort of.
By way of Washington, D.C., Washington State, and Philly. So this young man served on the national board of the National Association of Black Students, and we are moving in that next generation. Our scholarship winners that are here and others who are students that we may not even know. What do you see? Our Bell kids. One kid in our Bell program, hopefully he's here today, Nate. He's 9 years old. Said to me 3 years ago, he says, Joe, I'm telling you now, I'll be coming to every Bell program I can until I outgrow it or until age out. And then I want you to know when I'm 19, I'm running it. So that's what we want to hear from you guys. So let me turn this over to Shannon.
Well, where are your auction memories?
Oh, what?
Your auction memories, Shannon. Right,
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
Listen,
you go, Ellen.
All right.
All right.
Okay, so this is for all you techies out there.
Woo-hoo.
So I know for me or Matt, we go out places and our phones are going to die. Well, if you can't see how if this charger is going to charge your phone. So this will beep. It's for somebody who can't see or visually impaired. It'll beep and you can tell if it's going to charge your phone or not. Then we have a stand for your phone. And then have you ever gone places and forget your wall charger? Well, this one's for you. You can plug in your phone without having to have a wall charger. It's USB. Just USB port. Just plug into the wall. You have two USB ports and two.
Get charged up, everybody.
Yes.
You also said if you can't find a board, you can charge it in your nostrils.
Biggers
says what?
20
for Biggers.
Win
25.
Biggers
30.
Oh, the war is on. 35.
Biggers 40.
Someone said 50 over there. Who said 50?
I thought we were starting at 100.
Who said 50? Oh, it says Rita Krell said 50. Time to save time. Yeah, Ruffalo 150. And it's from a guy who loves technology. 150 for Ruffalo going once. We're here to raise money for you guys. Going twice.
Figures 160.
Well, I got jobs here next year. You're a big deal. All right, Biggers. What did you say, 160?
Yeah.
Let's round it off to 200. What did you say, Biggers? All right, we love the organization. Judy wanted it, and we'll probably give it away after Christmas. I don't really want it. But $200 goes to Joe Ruffalo. Run that.
So, does everybody like cookies?
Yeah.
So, we got these from our great friend, Mia Gaspa. She baked them. So, it's in this nice holiday tin. So, with seeing snowmen on it. So, the dough batch of cookies.
There's like 50 cookies. Or 60 cookies in there. It's a lot.
And no, it's 52.
I hate some. And and you also get a reusable bag that you can use over and over. Because they're going green.
Not the cookies, the cookies are green.
Now, I said this last night, and I'm sure these cookies, when Miss Whitten donated some cookies last night, when she called me on the phone, she said, I like to donate chocolate chip cookies. This is for those who were at last night's fun stuff. And she said they're big, they're fat, they're gooey, and they're soft. I thought she was describing me. I really did. So here we go. Let's start the bidding. These are delicious chocolate chip cookies made by V. Gaspa.
Figure is 20.
Who's that?
Fine and 40.
What is your range, Fine and?
71.
71 just Fine and. No, 40. 40 for Fine. That's less than $1 a cookie for crying out loud. Go to the bakery, they want $2.50 for a stupid cookie. These are delicious cookies. $40 for Barbara Fine. Do we have 50? Support your organization, make your belly big. Decorated so lovely. She put so much time and energy into this. Now, she works for the commission, so she took some personal time. No. All I can. She did it late at night, 11 o'clock at night, after she did her paperwork. So we have $40 for Friday. Do we have 50? Do we have 50? 40 going once. What room are you in, Barbara?
Don't tell
him. No, what I'm saying is we can't open them here. We have to open them back out. Okay. 40 for finally going once. Or twice. Sold the Barbara Fine. Very good. All right. Thank you. Well, I will do somewhere in between. Thank you, Ellen, for reminding me. Or whoever reminded me. All right, with all that funny games from our good friend Shannon. I met Shannon in Hawaii. Did I meet Shannon?
Yes, sir.
I met Shannon in Hawaii when I was forced to go as national rep.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a tough deal. Mr. Kubota twisted my arm and said, "You're going." All right. But I knew he was a leader then, and he's a leader now. Shannon Catton.
All right. How's it going, guys?
Great.
Perfect. So just throwing this out, I really would love it to be in Atlantic City personally. For two low payments of $200, you could get a room, or you could get a bottle of water from the Mandalay, guys. It's real. It's real. I dreamt of the snack bar and got charged $50 there, man. That was not a day. For sure. No, guys. Little background, a little bit of my story before I hop in. I'm here. You know, very, very graciously. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. National Rep. Sean Calloway. I'm here on behalf of our NAPS president, Catherine Webster, because as Mr. Riccobono, Catherine cannot be everywhere. She tries. If you look at her Facebook, it looks like she is, but she is not. So I'm here on behalf of her. A little bit of my story. I grew up in white, born and raised, little town on the Big Island, always introduced out of my town. My town was so small, we had more active volcanoes than we had traffic lights. 100% true, guys. I had bad allergies because of the volcano, but I did not have to worry about crossing streets because we had no cars. So that was, really, really awesome. Grew up and loved a lot of things. You know, had a big family. There were 6 of us in our family.
Wow.
Did everything that every big family would do. We did a lot of fighting. Did a lot of running, did a lot of playing, did a lot of eating, so parents put a lot of money into feeding our bellies, so that was a good thing. But, of course, 3 of us, we were blind. And I thought, wow, you know, in the middle of nowhere, we lack resources, understanding of what it means to be blind. And my dad always told us, he said, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know all 3 of you will do something. So I saw it on TV, because that's his reference is everything on TV. I saw it on TV, it's possible.
Seen on TV,
blind can work.
Yeah.
I didn't know how it would happen. And so, you know, we grew up, had a few battles with the schools, and I thought, man, we are alone. This only happens to people in the middle of nowhere. Is that true, guys? Is the only people in the rural areas getting... No. Big city. No one knows anything about blindness except blind people. And a great organization like this really started my catalyst of understanding what it means to be blind. I was 18 years old when that journey began, when I got services in the state of Hawaii. Our structured discovery program that was certified with the assistance of many National Federation of the Blind Centers. So although we were not ourselves a National Federation of Blind Center, we do have the equivalent certification. Got the same philosophy, same ideas. And we, you know, 18 years old, I thought I knew everything, realized I knew nothing. And it was an important reality check. Because after training, I moved directly to Boston, Massachusetts. And
woo!
Yeah, we got a fan. Don't worry, I hate the Patriots, guys. I heard it. The silence of don't worry. I agree. Tom Brady is not a human. He's a demon, guys. I got it. hashtag deflate gay, guys. I hope Massachusetts is watching on the stream. lived in Boston, and like I said, we had no traffic lights, so transitioning from no traffic lights to subways. It's a bit of a transition. It's a bit of a transition. A bit of, you know, what's going on. The first day I was there, a woman just ran up to me. She's like, "I'm so sorry, the train is delayed." I was watching on Inside Edition that some of the kids like to run in front of the tracks, and I'm like, "Whoa, this doesn't happen in Hawaii." You should just say hello and just be honest. She was like telling me background, and I'm like, all right, this is definitely a big change in scenery. And because of the training, I knew how to walk around, I knew how to catch buses, I knew how to ask questions. So I eventually made my comfort within Boston, Massachusetts, and made my name there a little bit. Started taking college courses, and my first day I actually went in to talk to someone from the disability center. Well, they should know about disability. And I started, you know, talking. I'm like, I'm not sure what I want to do. So he started going down different majors. He's like, all right, there's this, there's that, there's engineering. I'm like, what's funny about that? He's like, oh, no, plenty of people can't do engineering.
Oh.
And I said, wow, I want to do engineering. Real fast stories. I didn't finish my degree in engineering, but it's not because I was blind. It's just because math is not my strongest point. But I went through it just to prove them wrong. Pushed, made it all the way to calculus two.
Yay!
Yeah, made it all the way there. Coming from a high school that had no resources, so I graduated high school with pre-algebra, level mathematics, and so at least I showed you can go pretty far, just not me. So I switched my major to psychology, and during that time, I'm like, all right, this is what I'm good at. I know people, I talk to people, I feel good with people. Started learning, started feeling, and started slowly getting involved with National Federation of the Blind and meeting people, shaking hands, and moved back to Hawaii a few years later, got a job in leadership there, started giving jobs. Mr. Ruffalo here knows. I already heard three times where he's like, hey, can you do this? And now you're stuck with a job for 15 years. That's what this organization is built on. Gotcha moments. And I sure got a gotcha moment. And was offered an opportunity to be our legislative director for the state of Hawaii and go to Washington, D.C. and talk to members of Congress about laws and policy. And I'm like, I don't even know how to spell policy, so pretty sure you don't want me. They're like, we do want you because with many affiliates, people are getting older, people need to start changing. And you know, it just so happens the one thing going for me at the time was I was young. notice the word was. I sneezed this morning, my back went out. So I was young. And I took on the job. And by the grace of God, I somehow did well enough to where we got a couple of co-sponsors and people listening to me, and it was definitely an incredible experience. But it all started with, first of all, getting that job, someone believing in me, and me seeing people who were, what I believe in to this day, I believe in people who are strong with philosophy and understanding, and I looked up to them. Somehow these people who I looked up to thought enough of me to be like, we want you to take every legislative measure in the state and you be responsible for it. And I sometimes forget to feed myself all day, so that was really a lot of pressure, but I knew I had to do it. I knew I had to do it because I knew I would never get a job they wouldn't think I could finish. Sure, I finished, and more I started doing things, more other jobs I started getting. That's when I met Catherine Webster, who is our current president of the National Association of Blind Students. And just like our affiliate president in Hawaii, she just started giving me jobs. She's like, all right, we want an ad hoc committee. Or it was 50th anniversary of NABS a few years ago. She said, all right, I want you to do this. I'm like, all right, I can work. He's like, I want you to lead a conference call. And I'm like, no conference call for me. I listen to conference calls. I might take a nap during a conference call. I don't need a conference call. She said, you've heard me do it. I said, yeah. So do it. First time I did it, she said, all right, that was good. You did 50% material, 50% ums. Let's try raising it next time. Most of it, and then we went, and then I think we should, she said, let's try making it 70% next time. Slowly tilted, less ums, to the point it was 100% dead. Okay, incredible leadership on her part, and I started getting involved in more jobs, doing more things. And as with everything else, you realize, all right, it's an awesome thing that I'm doing stuff now. The next part of leadership is getting other people to do stuff for you. So that's when I took it upon myself, because I really care about the future of this organization and students and organization. Start building our own division in Hawaii. We didn't have a student division when I was first there. And Nani Fife, who was our immediate past president in Hawaii, said, she did have like 99 things to do. She said, I can tell you, or you can go and do it. So I went and did it. And during that time, it was real tough because we had a lot of other organizations competing for blind students. So started thinking, what do blind students love more than anything? Or students, sorry. What do students love more than anything? Students know what students love. They love pizza, they love food, they love to eat. That's right. So I started pushing a student seminar there in Hawaii. I'm like, this is the way to do it. Food will be paid for, it's paid. $15 registration. We had 5-6 meals, hotel. My brother actually cooked, and so we had legitimate, awesome food. And from within 2 years of a student division that had me just screaming with my little voice and yelling, hey guys, come help, come join me. We had 38 registrants in that regional seminar, and I was very proud of that. Bring me to my next point on what's going on with our students currently. A lot of what was made possible were things like seminars, leadership seminars, all these things that build and introduce. So, students, good morning. Get your coffee. February 7th, we will be having a leadership student seminar in D.C. prior to Washington seminar. Middle of November, we will be releasing Washington seminar funding that we've been doing for about 4 years now, I believe. A couple of those things are coming up, so hop in there if you have the availability, because I know you all are so going to be missing. Follow NADS on every social media site we got them all. So we'll be updating that. Just probably got a few minutes. I'm going to continue with the end of my story, where it is, and all the things that I'm surprised I can do because of this incredible organization. I decided a couple of months ago, I started doing stand-up comedy about a year and a half ago. Hawaii's become very stagnant, and I thought, I'll never make it in Hawaii. So I started applying for jobs on the East Coast, where my heart actually is, because I'm a cold-hearted person, so. Cold-hearted meaning I sweat a lot, and I like the cold weather, guys. Don't worry, I love the weather. So I made it, made it my mission to apply and get a job, so. I actually landed a job in Boston, got everything settled, put in my 2 weeks. My brother lived out there, so I'm like, all right, I got a place to stay. 1 week before I got there, I got a telephone call from my bosses at my spot in Boston and said, the specs have changed. Are you willing to go to Philly next week? I said, woo!
Can you get me a place in a bed? They said, sure. And they actually didn't get it until 2 days before I moved there. But they did it. But I always came, you know, I eventually evolved to the mindset that everything works its way out. Go for what you want to go for. Believe in what you believe in. And a lot of National Federation of the Blind to help you get it to where you guys want to be. And thank you guys so much for listening to me. Have a wonderful day.
You like the cold weather? I like the warm weather. With the Buffalo for 3 years, and that's warm up there, I'll tell you that. So let's get us, door prize ready. Ryan Stevens, he's here. No, he's here with the door prize. Just give him to come down here. Ryan Stevens, come on down. So the price is right. Mary Jo Partica and Assembly Woman Ivan Lopez. Come on down. We have enough seats for you guys? Make sure. Do a quick door prize while they're coming up.
Okay, we have 2 bars of soap and
homemade.
And $25 cash along with a 2020 pocket braille calendar.
And that goes to
is Luz Gonzalez here?
No.
All right. What about?
Oh gosh, you found out.
Alice Bogusha.
She wins all the time. Put it back.
Stand up and raise your hand, Alice.
Right here. Here.
Dean, we're coming.
I'm right here.
We're coming.
I'm right here. We're fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this next presentation will be conducted by 3 people, maybe more of us. Yeah. I was just checking my notes. I just want to say this before we get started here. There are some, well, everyone in this room is very important to us. We have people here from other states that are here. We have Sharon Witten from Massachusetts.
Woo! Yay, Sharon!
We have David Dina Harris from Pennsylvania and points all over the place. We have Miss Lynn Heitz, who is the president of the Philadelphia affiliate of the National Federation of Blind. And Mary's really New Jersey. She's from North Carolina. She's here. And if I miss anybody, $5 to get your name. Fundraiser.
Mackie.
Well, you're still Jersey, right? I'm Mackie's here, that's right. And of course, they're from Pennsylvania. And of course, Scott White and Jen White from Maryland are here. Yay! Very good, okay.
$15,
Joe. Thank you. And Matt's in the back for Pack. Mac Pack. Get on the Mac plane. No, Pack plane. Okay. All right. This is serious stuff. The National Federation of Blind was founded in 1940 with many goals in mind. And what was legislation? Changing legislation to change our lives. This is our 79th year of the National Federation of the Blind. So we've been very successful over the years. Changing lots of laws, allowing people who were blind years ago, you couldn't get an apartment if you were blind. Buying a house is almost impossible. Getting insurance, forget it. Many airlines wanted you to go on a plane with a sighted person. They forced a woman in North Carolina to sit on a plastic bag just in case if she had to relieve herself.
What?
And that was in the 1980s. Very much so. It is other things too. But one thing that I want to really get to the heart of this, and we're working on it with Assemblywoman Yvonne Lopez and her staff and our committee here in New Jersey, is the protection of parents, blind parents, disabled parents, civil rights bill. So we have a resolution to read first. I'm going to turn over to Ryan. I'll give a little history on the resolution, and then Mary Jo will read it to all of us so we can vote on it. She's going to read it to us in Braille, and then we'll vote on it, and then we'll present something to Yvonne Lopez, and then she'll have the podium. Okay? So, Ryan, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. Okay, at this couple of years, actually about 2 years ago, we had a national resolution calling for equal rights when it comes to being a parent in terms of custody, adoption, fostering, and all corresponding. All corresponding aspects of such. And through that work, we have gotten to at least, I believe, 12 states. Maybe Mr. Calloway could clarify, I don't know if he knows the numbers or not, but we've actually passed laws. And we here in New Jersey started the fight to get our own laws to protect those rights. The thing is, this is a national concern, national goal of our organization, but the laws are from state to state. And I believe last year or 2 years ago, President Ruffalo got in touch with Assemblywoman Lopez, and she has been working with us for our Parental Rights Committee for the past year or so. And so right now we have a resolution that both reinforces what we've been stating, our goal of achieving equality for blind and disabled people in parenting, and also to express our appreciation for the work that the Assemblywoman is doing with us. So I will turn this over to Mary Jo Partica to read the resolution in a moment. And once she reads it, we will call for a vote from you guys. And if the vote is affirmative, then we'll present the resolution to the Assemblywoman. So Mary Jo.
This is resolution 2019-01 regarding protecting the civil rights of blind and disabled parents. Whereas being a parent and raising children is a fundamental right which is protected under the Constitution of the United States of America by the First and Ninth Amendments and under the 14th Amendment as applied to the states. And whereas blind and disabled parents have been perceived by the courts, child protection agencies, guardians ad litem, hospital staff, and others as incapable of caring adequately for their children's needs, which has resulted in blind and disabled people being denied the right to be parents because of this unfair bias or unnecessary overreach by government entities. And whereas New Jersey has no laws at all to protect the fundamental constitutional right of blind and disabled citizens to be parents and raise their children without the fear of discriminatory treatment or unnecessary inquiries of fitness solely based on blindness or disability. And whereas New Jersey Assemblywoman Yvonne Lopez and her staff have been working with the National Federation of the Blind in New Jersey to create a bill which would remedy this injustice and allow our state to join the numerous other states which already have such a law on the books. Now, Therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey and Convention, assembled this 9th day of November 2019, in the Township of Woodbridge, New Jersey, that this organization expressed appreciation to Assemblywoman Yvonne Lopez and her staff for working on legislation to establish procedural safeguards to protect the right of blind and disabled people to be parents and prohibit discriminatory presumptions of manifest unfitness solely because a parent or prospective parent happens to be blind or disabled, and be it further resolved that we strongly urge state legislators to continue working with the National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey to protect the right of blind and disabled parents. And that's the resolution.
Move to pass the resolution. Rick
Claw. Okay, we have a motion to approve the resolution. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, moved by Rick Fox, seconded by Katie Maunder to pass the resolution. Before we get into discussion, I want to mention that Mary Jo read the resolution in Braille. Any discussion on the resolution, either pro or con? There being none, all in favor of the of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So moved.
Thank you. Yay! Thank you very much.
It would be a great pleasure to introduce a friend to me and many of us in this room, all of us in this room. In fact, Mary wrote a beautiful letter to Yvonne Lopez inviting her to this convention. I asked Mary to write the letter because Mary lives in Woodbridge, and that's one of the towns that is the Assemblywoman's district. So I've made it a real nice gesture. But she would have came anyway if anybody would have known. She's a true friend. I've known her for a number of years, and then she didn't want to know me anymore. She left. No. Great lady, ladies and gentlemen, our friend, Assemblywoman Yvonne Lopez. When she becomes president, I can say, I hope you win.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here today, and what a lovely day it is. It's a little chilly, but there's no snow, there's no rain, so we're blessed. And thank you to Joe and the organizers of this year's convention for allowing me to address the National Federation of the Blind from New Jersey. As many of you know, I have known Joe through my work with the Puerto Rican Association for Human Development. Joe's advocacy for the blind community is unwavering. The theme of your conference this year is Live the Life You Want, a wonderful statement of empowerment and determination. We all know that blindness is not the characteristic that defines a person, nor their future, and that every single day, blind people overcome obstacles and expectations, not letting their blindness hold them back. I had no idea that there were cases where blind parents were overlooked in the adoption process, and in some cases had their homes investigated due to their disability. A loving parent and a nurturing home are not defined by the ability to see. After speaking with Joe, I jumped on the issue last year and had legislation drafted to provide protection for the custody rights of blind parents, and more importantly, protect blind parents from unnecessary and targeted intervention. Being blind or having a disability is not detrimental to the best interest of a child, and the blind community should not be unfairly treated, especially when dealing with their family and, more importantly, their children. Well, I'm still working with Joe, because I understand that the legislation that we presented wasn't exactly what you were asking for, but you know that we're going to work with you closely on this, Joe.
Yes.
And the National Federation of the Blind for New Jersey and this legislation to ensure maximum protection for parents. I want to make one thing clear. As a mother and parent, I cannot imagine someone trying to say that I was unfit due to a disability. Parenting is an exercise in practice, and we don't get a handbook. And regardless of the ability, as long as we love our children and the child's best interests will always be paramount. Today I'm here to reiterate my commitment in working together with all of you to address the issues affecting the rights of the blind community. Please know you have my support, my unwavering support, and I look forward to the work ahead and what we will accomplish. Thank you very much.
When we received the proposed bill from Juan Carlos, we read it, we commented on it at our committee, and we knew it needed some of our NFB input. So in this folder, we have a copy of our resolution. We also have a copy of our scholarship form information. I put on the other side of it is a proposed bill that we wrote so we can give to her and her staff to review, which has our feelings in it, and I know her feelings too. So we want to give you that, and we need to meet you in person again around Christmas for those delicious cookies.
Oh, sure.
We'll be there. That we wrote on our behalf for you guys to look at. Yeah, we want always all of us to remember one thing. You know, we work together to make a difference. And we are going to work together. Because my goal is to have this thing, this bill passed. As I told everyone, next year at this time, I'll be stepping down. And it would be really super if Yvonne came and says, Joe, the bill has been signed. Is it or in committee or it's out? That's, so we want you to think outside the box. And I have for you a jewelry box. Don't worry, there's nothing in it.
It's a brain.
And a brain is think outside the box. And just so you know, we are collecting food items out there. And some personal items, which will be given to the Puerto Rican Association for Human Development Food Pantry.
Oh, thank you.
So we'll do that also. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Lopez. Always a pleasure. Okay. That's a door prize for Ms. Lopez.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm only going to say this one. Until we run out, every door prize will come with a Braille magazine. So with the Braille magazine, with one, we have a dish towel and a can of salted peanuts.
Okay.
And that's going to Eve Posner. Are you in the room?
She's not.
Right.
She was a vendor.
What about Rosetta Simmons?
Okay. Rosetta Simmons.
Was that your room? Dr. Davis?
Stand up, raise your hands.
She's
over here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no problem.
Your question is what?
Okay.
Maybe 2 years?
2 years ago?
No, she's an assembly one. Every 2 years they're voting.
But they run for election
this year. For election this year? Yeah.
All incumbents help their
state. Yeah, no, she's our, yeah, she just won, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, you done with those door prizes? Mary said yes. I know who to listen to. Your convention.
Speak up, me.
Okay, so we have a bottle of hand lotion and $10 cash. Is Henry Young here?
Yes.
Okay, okay. gives me great pleasure to introduce our executive director. I think last year at this time she was interim.
Yes.
Yep. Now I can say it nice and clear. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you our executive director from the New Jersey Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, Dr. Bernice Davis.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I just want to start off, Mr. President Joe Ruffalo, by saying thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation to be here today. Not only for the invitation here, I also want to thank you for your dedication, your passion, your dedication. You're a very genuine person, very passionate and authentic. Thank you. And then my third thank you, I would like to say thank you to all the veterans, those who are in the room, those who are not. And thank you. So I'm here this morning, the purpose I'm supposed to be here, and I'm supposed to give a report on what the commission has been working on for the last year. But I'd like to start off just saying a little bit about what I believe. I think that it's, as the executive director, my role is to oversee the overall operations of the agency, to make sure that everyone's doing, or we are doing what we need to do so that we have successful outcomes, so that we, more importantly, meet the needs of all the consumers. But at the end of the day, operations, people know their jobs. We have so many talented people at the Commission for the Blind. We really do. It's not a perfect organization, but I'm very proud to be at the helm of the Commission for the Blind at this moment in time. So with that said, I just want to talk about what I value. And I think I can say surely that we have a collective value in terms of believing in community. For those of you who know me well, I'm a big believer in the power of community. There is nothing like feeling like you belong. You walk into some place or you hear somebody talk, and just that feeling, that embrace that you feel, that energy that you feel. So I know there are so many people that are members of NFB, but I also know people who may not be or have reservations about the NFB. But I stand here telling you, I am all for and all about any organization, any individual who is about the empowerment of blind and visually impaired people. Yeah. And as Joe and I and Linda, we've spoken about before, there are times we're not going to agree on everything. That's okay. There's power in not seeing things exactly the same sometimes, right? We still have to work together. And there is more that we agree on. There are more partnerships and collaborations with the commission at NFB than disagreement. So I'm very proud of that.
We are too.
The other thing that I love is the power of transformation. So I, like you, whenever you encounter somebody that says the commission changed their life or that the NFB changed their life, there's nothing like that gush of like joy that you feel. It never gets old. It's always brand new. And so just for me to you, you know, genuinely, that's why I love coming to work every day. I love supporting the staff at the commission. I love having influence. I love having the cell phone number, people like Mr. Joe Ruffalo, a direct line. And Joe's been great. Sometimes there are obstacles that come up or there are hard situations that, you know, you just need a second ear. You may need a reference point. And Joe has always been that. Yeah. said, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what we've been doing. One of the things that I hold is very valuable are our stakeholders. I believe a stakeholder can be an agency, but a stakeholder is also individuals, whether they belong to an organization or not. So with that in mind, when I became formally appointed, I started taking increased steps to bring in more community stakeholders in terms of getting our goals met, looking for input. I think it was, time goes so fast, but I think it was about 4 months ago, we wanted to connect with stakeholders and more on a one-to-one basis. And what I did was, in terms of central office, I said, listen, I think we need to come together. We need to hold an event so that we can talk to people, not masses of people, but more a more intimate, a more one-to-one setting where people can tell us what they like, what they don't like, what they want more of, less of. And so for that meeting, which we call the Stakeholders Roundtable, we invited a diverse group of individuals who are representatives of a variety of groups and organizations. And we asked them to come to the meeting prepared to answer the following questions. And those questions were, from your perspective, what are the current issues and concerns affecting blind, visually impaired, and deafblind people in the state of New Jersey? And the second was, how can the state of New Jersey and other blindness community stakeholders increase partnerships to better support and address the needs of people who are blind, visually impaired, and deafblind? The meeting was very well attended. Every member of my executive team was there. They were asked to introduce themselves and describe the areas of CBBI operations that they administer. And those areas included education of school-aged children, high school transition services, vocational rehabilitation, employment services, independent living services, deafblind services, assistive technology, the Business Enterprises of New Jersey program, community education and outreach, as well as managers from all across the state. They were all at the JKTC having this meeting. We learned a lot during the meeting, and I consider that it was extremely beneficial and enlightening for everyone. There, after that meeting, we had a few smaller meetings, and we talked about increased training for staff around deaf blindness. I think for those of you who haven't noticed it on the agenda, Amanda Gerson, our VR coordinator, she's going to be taking information around issues and training in regards to deafblind needs. So I think that's this afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. We also increased our task force around trying to get ideas to make events and activities that are more attractive for parents. Parents, whether it's of infants, parents of our high school students. So we have this idea, and hopefully we can do it in the spring. We're just starting. We would like to have a college/financial aid presentation at the commission and invite parents. So we're hoping to get everybody's input there so that it can be a great event. We've also asked our consumers about, what do you think about the relationship with yourself and CBBI? The goal is we want to ensure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We do have SRC, which a State Rehabilitation Council with Rick Fox is the chair of. And the SRC, they have a very important purpose. They focus on our vocational rehabilitation programs, and they basically assure that we are doing what we need to do in terms of getting people employment, and that our programs are where they need to be so that blind and visually impaired and deafblind persons can definitely receive the employment skills that they need for employment. As well as we have another topic that we've been focused on. The commission, for those of you all who don't know, it will be 110 years old next year. Wow. Yeah. So we've just been discussing how we're going to celebrate the 100th anniversary. There were so many events that were planned. It was a big to-do. It was great. But for the 110th, we decided just to have one big event. Most likely it will be during the first week of October, which, as you know, is both Blindness Awareness Month and National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And it'll be a combination resource fair and awards luncheon that will tentatively be sponsored by the Fund for the New Jersey Blind. One of the potential sites happens to be this hotel that we're looking at. So more details will be released after the first of the year. I shared some information about the task force, but I also wanted to talk about what I have done in terms of expanding support for our staff as well as our consumers. We used to have social workers at the commission, and when social workers, when they retired, there was an upheaval, there were freezes, and we haven't had social workers in such a long time. However, that is being, social workers are being resumed. I'm happy to report that we're going to be bringing on two social workers before the end of the year. So yay! We all know that we're not one-dimensional as human beings, and even though you may have a goal of working and being successfully employed, there are things and obstacles that are real that may actually get in your way. And I think having social workers is just so beneficial. It's beneficial to staff. They get to really focus on counseling and guidance, and then they have a resource. And I think consumers, when they call, they don't know where to turn. It doesn't exactly have to do with independent living or vocational. The social worker is there. And I think social workers are one of the greatest pillars that we can have. So I'm very excited about that.
Yay! Yay!
CBVI has had the good fortune of always having an internship program. Most of our interns have been housed at the Joseph Cone Training Center. And we've had interns dispersed throughout the agency. However, I have put a lot of energy behind actually attracting more and more interns. We have our first fiscal intern this year. We have several O&M interns, education interns. So I'm very excited about that. We're also looking into establishing a volunteer program for those who want to volunteer. I was asked just yesterday at the Spire facilitators meeting, you know, what volunteer opportunities that we have. And so that'll be coming down the pipe as well. And just, I also want to just say in terms of partnership. So partnership is key. I think the commission does a great job, but I think we can do an even better job if we look to the community stakeholders to partner with us. We run a lot of successful programs for children in the summer. We have the SURE program for individuals who are 55 and better. These programs are wonderful. They also take a lot of resources. And I think it's a win-win situation if we can reach across the aisle and invite partners to share and to help build and expand these programs. So that's something that we're looking at as well. And also, I just want to say, just to report on one of our great programs, and President Ruffalo was part of that, our EDGE program. College undergraduates across New Jersey and Pennsylvania who are blind and visually impaired, and the students, they learn how to maximize their college experience through individualized plans, and they learn to address barriers across campuses and to set academic and social goals, and it also establishes a plan for community engagement while in college. So that's a great program, and thank you. I see people who are mentors sitting here in the audience. Thank you for all that you do day in and day out. EDGE has grown by leaps and bounds, and it will continue to grow. So thank you for that. We also had 12 students participate in our work skills prep program. It's a pre-employment transition program for high school students ages 16 to 21. And the consumers that attended that program, they have a desire to work, they're self-directed, they're able to work with or without support. And it really prepares the consumers for life after high school by providing opportunities to practice functional academic skills, employment skills, independent living skills, and classroom-based and community in settings. So our VR coordinator, Amanda Gerson, I'd like to give her a special shout out. She puts a lot of energy, a lot of her talent into building these programs and making sure that our partnerships are maintained and that the programs are continue to be successful. So thank you to Amanda. I'd also like to just say, and I've referenced before, that we have great staff at the Commission for the Blind, but I try to take every opportunity to thank the staff for going above and beyond every day, for wearing 10 different hats when they're really supposed to wear one. So I just have a lot of appreciation for the staff. And also, just in terms of education, to date, our teachers have conducted 7 workshops for a total of 198 classroom teachers in various locations across the state. And there are additional workshops scheduled for mid-November. There was also, I believe it was on Halloween, a para-educator workshop that was conducted in our Cherry Hill location. And that was a focus to support, the focus was on supporting Braille learners and the use of assistive technology. That went very, very well. I have several accomplishments. I also just want to congratulate Nikki for a fantastic New Jersey mini blast. The first conference was held this year. I was happy to be there. And the energy, it was on fire. And but that was great. And Nikki is also, he's such a great partner. And the other thing, lastly, I just want to talk about outreach. We have brought on a part-time outreach coordinator. It breaks my heart every time somebody says to me, oh, I never heard of the Commission for the Blind. I'm like, oh, okay. So we're motivated whenever we hear that because we want people. I'd love for the Commission to be a household name in the state of New Jersey. So we're actually working on outreach. We're going to be doing more training with staff on customer service. We are going to be developing a customized supervisory training track for commission staff. And we're also going to be meeting with supervisors. And they're pivotal in the commission's operational structure. And I think there's some work that we can do and some enhancements. Supervisors, they need support, development. And as we know, learning is a lifelong endeavor. So yes, definitely is. So with that said, I just want to extend always a hand across the aisle to say that your feedback, your comments, everything that you bring to the commission, it needs its stakeholders. This goes hand in hand. So we're not operating solo. We're always looking for feedback, always reaching our hands across the aisle and listening. And I really appreciate for people who have been very genuine. Sometimes there's great accolades that I hear. And sometimes people, you know, they tell me things that I have to think about and figure out how am I gonna resolve? How am I gonna make this better? And I appreciate that. So keep it coming. NFB, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be here and always to work with the members of NFB. And Joe and I, as he said, we're talking about training opportunities for the staff, and we'll continue that conversation. And Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
We continue to think outside the box and guess what she's getting? A box of bread.
Thank you.
We got to kick out of that. No, it was expensive. It was expensive. It was a little brain supposed to be 11 cents. So. David, come forward, please. Mr. Dean Terrace?
Yes, sir.
Come on, follow.
All right.
Do we have time for a door prize?
Yes.
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 Okay.
I have a deck of Braille playing cards and a Bluetooth speaker cane charm from Custom Cane. By the way, if you have canes, please bring them to the door prize table. And this is going to Jen White. Are you here?
I am here.
Okay, I met this young man. I'm going to be an old man now. I met this young man about 35 years ago, lifting weights in my brother's garage, probably in January. So cold. Oh my God. We were insane in those days.
In those days? No. Well,
I said to David, there's something wrong. Is there something in the water in Belleville, New Jersey?
Definitely.
You got David from Belleville, Joe from Belleville, my brother Rich from Belleville, Jerry Marino from Belleville.
Whoa.
So you know we're all a bunch of weirdos. No, Jane was in Bluefield. Jane had filtered water in Bluefield. She was fine. Bottled water. But I've known David for 35 years. And I remember one time leaving a board of trustees meeting. And one of the members asked me, Joe, who are your mentors? Who do you learn from? Well, I learned from my dad. Respectful of the people. I've learned a lot of things from the leaders in the Federation. But one of my mentors is David Dina Terrace. Because David is 20 years younger than you. So who says we can't learn from young people? So, you know, younger generation out there, get ready. We're going to pass you the torch soon. Get ready. So, again, it's a great pleasure and great honor. I think that's what you told me to say.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. To so introduce you to a good friend of ours, David Dina Terrace.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a privilege it is to be with you today, trying to get this here situated. Joe, you're my mentor, and I'm just grateful for this opportunity. I put this together. Carol laughed when I sent her the agenda topic, Innovator Disintegrate. That's the topic today. We need to continue to innovate. We need to continue to learn. We need to continue to grow. And we always need to remember where we came from. We always need to remember where we came from. You know, like Joe, I always like to share a little funny story to get started. Would that be okay?
Yes!
So there was a young lady, she was 10 years old, and she asked her mom, Mom, where did I come from?
Uh-oh.
Oh, so the mom, she sat her down and had a long story with her about the birds and the bees and on and on. And after about 20 minutes, the mom said, Honey, I hope that explains things for you.
And the girl thought for a moment and said, well, Mom, not really. She said, no, why not? She said, Jeremy at school said he's from Chicago. He asked me, where did I come from? always remember where I came from. Today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today to take great notes. I want to talk to the students. I want to talk to, you know, Joe talked about who's on the legislative committee, who's on the membership committee, and who here is a student? Well, I think we're all students. Yeah. I think we're all students. I want to encourage all of you to take great notes. You can't just think it. You got to ink it. Leonardo da Vinci said a bunch of drops of ink will really help you think. And I love the thought a bunch of little dots helps me remember lots. So take today, I want you to take lots of notes. We need to take lots of notes because statistics say we only remember 3% what we hear 24 hours later. I grew up in Belleville, New Jersey, a beautiful village, Belleville Village. My parents didn't have any advanced degrees like many of you, but they were possibility thinkers. Say, I'm a possibility thinker.
I'm a possibility thinker.
That was passionate. One more time. I'm a possibility thinker. I'm a possibility thinker. My mom and dad, my dad, he worked 3 jobs, like many of you or many of your parents. He worked at the VA, he worked at the post office, and he worked as a health inspector in Montclair, New Jersey. I learned so much from my dad. My dad taught me that negative thinking was a habit, but so was possibility thinking. Possibility thinking is a habit also. Negative thinking, I can't, I won't, they won't like me. Possibility thinking is, I can, I must, I will. When I was 4 years old, my parents took me to lots of eye doctors. They knew something was wrong with my eyes, but they didn't know what. They took me to eye doctors in New York and in Pennsylvania. They took me to one eye doctor. It doesn't matter where he was from, but their initials were UMDNJ. But the doctor would say, Mr. Dino Terrace, your son has a rare eye condition. He's never going to lead a normal life or get a regular education or do the things that the, I remember this part stung, or do the things that the normal kids do. I remember leaving the doctor's office that day with my parents. They didn't say a word. We walked down the long corridor. We went into the elevator. We were in the parking garage. My mom put me in the back seat of the car. My dad got in the driver's seat. I remember I was able to hear the tears in my mother's voice. Dante, what are we going to do now? The doctors say our son's never going to lead a normal life. My father interrupted her. He didn't do that often. He knew better. He said, Joan, we're not going to listen to those experts. We're going to find the experts to help us lead a normal life. Today, I am honored to be speaking to the experts who have helped me live a normal life. And the experts who've changed what it means to be blind. My mother taught me how to read with the magnetic letters on the refrigerator before the New Jersey Commission for the Blind taught me Braille. I remember when my dad took me to meet the principal at number 10 school in Belleville, New Jersey for the first time. The principal went on and on. He told my dad all the reasons I couldn't attend school there. He told me that there were too many steps, there were no Braille teachers, and on. My dad let him continue to go. And then my dad said, do you have anything else? And the principal said, no. He said, great. Will you give my son a chance? The principal said, yes, but if it doesn't work out, you'll have to do something else. I can't take him to that school in Philadelphia or Jersey City. I'm not going to do that. We're going to make this work. The New Jersey Commission for the Blind, Linda Moore, taught me to read Braille when I was 4. Joe Cutter. Yay. 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 Taught me to read when I was 5.
Christine Hinton taught me how to type when I was 8.
Whoa.
She told me, young man, I'm going to teach you how to type if it kills me. People won't remember exactly what you say. They will remember exactly how you make them feel. Miss Moore, Mr. Cutter, Miss Hinton, made me feel like I could do it. Say, I can do it.
I can do it.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When I was preparing my remarks and I was thinking, what do I want to share? What do I want to put a handle on for people so they can take it out there where they live, work, and play? And that's the message I want to put a handle on for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid. I attended Camp Marcella.
Yay!
When I was 7 years old, I met so many friends there. One of them is here today. When I was in Beaver Cabin, I met my friend Clayton Stewart. Clayton, where are you, brother?
Clayton!
Oh. 43 years later, we're still friends.
Oh.
Yep. I'm happy to share that we have so many friends who believed in us, who believed in us when we didn't believe in ourselves. My parents believed in me. They didn't have any advanced degrees. Dad would tell me, I don't have a library card. I don't have a college degree, but I do have a library card. Dad taught me that readers are leaders, and the more you learn, the more you earn.
Right?
Keep learning, keep believing. We learn. I was so fortunate to have had a built-in rehab teacher at home, my sister Geraldine.
Yeah.
Geraldine taught me to cook and to clean, to sew. She taught me about elbow grease. She told me that blindness was going to make me bitter or better, and I better pick the right one. She always taught me things. She taught me this, and this is my mantra, that things turn out the best for people who make the best of the way things turn out. It's crucial that we make the best of the way things turn out. I graduated Belleville High School in 1987 and attended East Stroudsburg University and earned a degree in communications and marketing. I graduated in 1992. But before that, there was a turning point. What was that turning point? It was a conference at the Library for the Blind. There was a speaker there, his name, Dr. Kenneth Chernigan.
Oh.
He said this as I sat in the back of the room, like it was church, right? I had to sit in the back of the room. He said, it's respectable. Say respectable.
Respectable.
It's respectable to be blind. It made me think, is it really respectable to be blind? If it was, then why wasn't I using a cane? If it was, then why wasn't I using assistive technology? If it was, then why was I so afraid to go to those meetings? It's respectable to be blind. I graduated East Stroudsburg in 1992 with a degree in communications and marketing. I moved home with my mother, and I hated it. It's not that I hated her. I loved her. I just was on my own for 5 years. And now, I was living at home. But I got a job. I got a job. I was working for the First Occupational Center of New Jersey as a job developer for people who were blind and disabled veterans. A friend of mine called me up, Vince Trubia. I went to high school with Vince, and we had a shore house together at the Jersey Shore. Snooki had nothing on us. And Vince said, hey, Dave, do you want to get an apartment? I said, absolutely, I'd love to. We looked in Hoboken, Jersey City, Weehawken, Montclair. Well, we looked in Hoboken, and it was too expensive. It was really expensive. It was $800 a month for an apartment. Shocking. 1992. We looked in Weehawken. We looked in Jersey City. It was too busy. We looked in Montclair. I thought Montclair would be a cool place to live. My dad was the health inspector in Montclair for 33 years, from 1952 to 1985. He took me to his job a few times to meet some of his coworkers. Montclair was a cool town. We found an apartment and we moved in. But I noticed something after about 3 months. I noticed that I wouldn't leave that apartment unless I was with someone who could see.
Oh, wow.
Why was that? Because I was so stubborn. Are there any stubborn people in the room?
No.
I just had to check. Tell President Rick Bono that. He's got a way. There's some stubborn people in the room. Yes. Let him know. And I was stubborn. I wouldn't use a cane. And I'd made all the excuses why I didn't need to use a cane. I had to check my email. I had email then. I had to check my voicemail. I didn't need a cane, right? I could just grab on somebody's arm, get where I needed to go. Well, one day, it was a big, beautiful day. It was September 1993. And I said, you know, I just want to open up my cane and walk to the corner. I'm a firm believer that success breeds success. And if you can get a little success, it'll snowball, it'll spiral, it'll continue to grow. So I opened up my cane and I continued to walk to the corner. What did I encounter? I encountered broken sidewalks and I encountered cars sticking out of the driveway. I had to walk out into the street and back up on the sidewalk. Finally, I got to the corner and I was just about to go home. I was on the corner of Gordonhurst and Park in Montclair, New Jersey. And I was just about to turn around and go home. I'm sure this was divine intervention. I was just about to turn around and go home, but then I thought, you know, down the street, there's a row of stores and there's a barber shop. I've got my wallet. I wonder if I could find that barber shop. I continued to walk. What did I encounter? I encountered more cars sticking out in the sidewalks, and I had to walk out into the street. I encountered broken sidewalks, the big oak trees that broke in the sidewalks. I encountered garbage cans. I was pissed. The day I went for a walk, it had to be garbage day. You know, my friends, sometimes we're going to encounter garbage. Sometimes we're going to encounter negativity. Sometimes we're going to encounter obstacles. But I'm here today to tell you that you can't turn around and go home. You got to go around them. You got to go through them. You got to go over them. You're going to get by them. Those are the goals. Those obstacles aren't there to create stumbling blocks. They're stepping stones. Those aren't obstacles. They're opportunities. They're not problems. They're possibilities. So I continued to walk. And I got to that little row of stores where I knew the barbershop was. How did I know the barbershop was there? Well, when I would walk around with Vince, my roommate, and Marianne, who's my girlfriend at the time and now my wife, they would tell me, oh, over there is a pizzeria. Oh, over there, there's a gas station. Over there, there's a delicatessen. Over there, there's a jewelry store. Mary was always telling me about the jewelry store, right? And so I got to the little row of stores, and there's a barbershop. And I didn't know where the barbershop was exactly. I didn't know where it was. But, you know, this was before cell phones where they were around. I didn't have one yet. And I was just standing there. I'm thinking, well, I don't know where the barbershop is. You know, and I heard one of the doors open. Someone came out of the door, and I said, excuse me. Can you please tell me where the barbershop is? The man said, sure, son. It's a few stores down. As a matter of fact, the door is open. So I continued to walk. And I heard a buzzing sound. And I figured it's either a barbershop or a tattoo parlor. So I stood in the doorway. And the barber said, son, he said, you want your hair cut? I said, yes, I do. He stopped cutting the gentleman's hair. And he came over to me, right? 80-year-old man. Came over to me, he took my hand and put it on the back of the chair. And I'm thinking, I'm sure this guy never had any ADA rehabilitation, workforce investment act training or anything like that, but he had a whole lot of common sense. He took my hand, he put it on the back of the chair, and he said, son, sit down here. When I'm done, you're next. Well, you know, I sat down, and you know what happened?
I started to worry. I started to worry. What did I worry about? I worried that I wasn't going to be able to make it home. That I was worried I was going to get lost. I was worried I was going to be embarrassed. You know, the 10 words that have stopped more people, the 10 words that have stopped more progress, the 10 words that have stopped more possibilities, I'll give you the first four, see if you can give you the fifth. People are so concerned with what will other people
say,
or what will other people
say,
what will other people think, and what will other people say have stopped more dreams, possibilities, and initiatives than anything else. Don't you worry about what other people say, and don't you worry about what other people think, because I got news for you. They're not worrying about you. They're too caught up in their own problems. And if they are saying something, if they are saying something about you, they just don't know how a blind person would do something. They're not you. When someone tells you you can't do it, you're not smart enough, you're not talented enough, they don't know you. They don't know what's inside of you. They don't know the heart, the desire, or the organization that you belong to either. Today, I realized that when I started to worry, right? What is worry? Worry is simply negative meditation. I worried I wasn't going to be able to make it home, and I was worried. And then finally, I heard the ding of the cash register. We don't have dings on cash registers anymore, right? I heard the ding of the cash register, and he said, son, you're next. So I stood up, and I opened my cane, and again, he took my hand, he put it on the back of the chair, and then he put the smock, you know, over me, and then he started cutting my hair. And I always let the pause here for a second to say, he didn't ask me how I wanted my hair cut. my therapist will be here later this afternoon. He'll be talking about it. He didn't ask me how I wanted my hair cut. He started cutting my hair, and he said, son, he said, how did you go blind? And I said, I have an eye condition, retinitis pigmentosa. And it's a degenerative eye condition, and it progressively got worse. I lost my ability to see at night. I lost my ability, peripheral vision, to see on the sides. And I went totally blind when I was 19. And he said something that only people in New Jersey will really appreciate. So I'm glad I could see. He said, that's a nice. I said, that's nice. Yeah, I guess so. I told that story in Wisconsin. Yeah, I was speaking for MassMutual. They're like, what's that's nice of me? I'm like, never mind. It's the wrong audience. So I said, oh, that's nice. Yeah. He said, what's your name? Yeah. I said, David Dino Taris. And he stopped cutting my hair. Uh-oh. And he spins the chair around and he said to me, Dante was your father. I said, yep. I said, you know my dad? He said, son, I knew your dad. I cut his hair for 30 years. And I cut his hair when he was dying in Claremont's hospital. Aww. And he told me that he had a blind son. And boy, was he proud of you. Aww. Aww. And I was floored. I was floored. And he told me, son, that you had a big heart and you never give up, and it's a pleasure to meet you. I was shocked. And I remember I got up, and finished cutting my hair, and I got up, and I opened up my wallet and pushed my hand away with the wallet. Said, no, that one's on your father. You just come back next time. And I left that day with a boatload of emotions. I was really glad I met this guy who knew my dad. But then I was really angry. What was I angry about? I was so angry about all the other places I didn't go, and all the other people I didn't meet, and all the other experiences I didn't enjoy because I was so damn stubborn I wouldn't use a cane. And now that I've been using a cane, I'm able to travel, I'm able to go places, I'm able to teach, educate, inform, and inspire. And I'm able to tap my potential and encourage others. So I tell you that to ask you this. What's stopping you?
Nothing.
What's stopping you? Don't let fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, false expectations appearing real, false education appearing real. My brother Vincent, who my brother knows, Joe knows good, told me that fear also stands for forget everything and run. and the F is for forget. So don't be. It's an army thing. It's an army thing. So I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be able to be home. I remember where I came from, and I hope you do too. And I will remember forever the people in Belleville, New Jersey, and the people in the National Federation of the Blind who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. Thank you.
Very quickly, David called me last Saturday night from the convention in Pennsylvania. And by that time, we were in, I was almost in code red.
I was already there.
She was already there. I was in orange, turning red. I said, oh, it's 7:30, one more email, and go downstairs and eat some dinner. Phone rings. Of course, I pick it up. Joe, David. Hey, David, what's going on? Just got out of the convention. What a great convention. And something exciting happened. I know you can help. Uh-oh. What is it, David? So there's a young lady here that is moving to New Jersey, and she's going to be working for the Commission for the Blind. And I'm just thinking to myself, how are we going to get her there? How are we going to get her home? How are we going to feed her? And who is she staying with? Well, by the end of that day, well, maybe there, 2-3 days later, we had it all figured out. And Ms. Medina's here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is. Yes, sir. Yay. Say it. Yes, sir. Congratulations to you. Thank you, David, for bugging me.
You got it.
I will look forward to Bell students here, Bell parents, students, Bell people, which is myself, Mary Jo, Jonathan. Come forward, Jonathan.
Okay, so we have a bag of chocolate almonds and cashews and a dream catcher.
Ooh.
And that is going to Ford Gandhi.
What are we on?
All right, sorry, but blame it on the pizza for real. Is he here?
Ford Gandhi.
He's over there.
All right.
I'll be happy to take it.
No.
What about Rebecca Martin?
No, he's here.
Who's here?
Ward's here.
Ward's here. Oh.
Well, you gotta jump up.
Ward, are you in the room? Okay.
All right. What about Katie Monder?
Yeah.
Stand up. Raise your hand. Scream.
I'm right here.
All right, we got you.
Hey, she spent $100 on cookies. Come on down.
Wait.
Yeah. I think there's more microphones on my right side.
What?
Hey, boy, sir. You know, I was in the hospital for, I went for a same-day surgery or procedure, didn't work out, had to get a second one, didn't work out, so I spent 30-day vacation. Let's look at it two ways, negative or positive. I'm going on vacation, didn't know it was going to extend to 30 days, so I was on vacation for 30 days, and one of the first emails I came home to was from Dean and Shay, wishing me well. Get strong. We need you. And I said, I need you guys too. I got a lot of emails from Nate, and a whole bunch of kids, all that good stuff. So we have a program. We have a program that you guys support, and it's called the Bell Program. In fact, we got to play something first. Bell Enrichment Literacy and Learning for 6 year.
Well, I'm
going to
find
the one. You find the one I talk.
That's good.
Okay, thank you. The Puerto Rican Association for Human Development has offered their building and facilities for 6 consecutive years at a very high cost. Can you say zero?
Zero.
I sure can. So they've been very good to us. This year we may have a new better hotel for the crew yet. We'll be negotiating very shortly. And I'm trying to hedge a little bit. Time for a jump. No. Wait on the door button. So anyways, our 6 year. All right, don't worry about it. All right, we've done it for 6 years. In the first 3 years of our program, we had a woman, great friend of ours, Barbara Shallett, who was our head teacher for 3 years. And then she stepped aside, and Barbara Graham was there for 1 year. And then we had Sylvia Reed celebrate for 2 years. But I just want you guys to know to keep Barbara Shallett in your prayers and thoughts. Has passed away. Rumor has it she's teaching Braille lessons up in heaven. Angel has never gotten the right training. Her heart was with you guys. She loves everybody in our Bell program, whether you met her or not. Her honesty, loyalty to the Bell students, and to all her students, is second to none. So let's thank her. Every time you read a Braille dot, take a Barbara Shallett. Right? Find it, didn't find it. Okay, no problem. Okay, we got a little bit of music, so I'll have to sing for you.
No!
All right, good.
No.
So, okay, great. So two of our students are here. We have Dean Colazzo from Nutley, New Jersey. And he makes great chocolate chip cookies, too, you know. Oh, boy, is that good. And we have with us Nate from North Jersey. You're from? Exactly. Ridgewood. And he likes eating chocolate. So both of these young men, Dean was a first-year student, and Nate's been in the program, what, 4 or 5 years? 5 years. And this is a young man who told me he's going to come for as long as he can. And when he's 19, he's going to take over the program. Remember you saying it? Okay. Great. So let me ask Dean a question first. Okay, Dean? Now, Dean is a new student to Braille. And before you came to the Bell program, and Mom can chime in too, of course, how many letters of Braille did you know before you came to the Bell program?
Four.
And how many letters did you know when you left the Bell program? Every single one. Yay! Four letters, were you able to read anything in Braille before you came?
Okay.
Dad, maybe. Maybe a few words, but then he was reading by the time he got done, so beginning Braille, but he was reading. Good job. Now, Mr. Nate, question for Mr. Nate. Nate has been playing as a young kid all his life. He got some really good Braille lessons going. This kid is really sharp. So, what did you learn at the Bell program this past summer?
I learned from the building school, like how to cross the street without pointing someone's hand. Or by just listening to the
cards
and crossing.
Good job.
Great.
I learned that
10 and a half.
See, at that age, they throw the half in. Well, you're 12, approaching the old age. And Dean, how old are you, sir? Dean, your age is what?
I am.
Between 9 and 9 and a half. He's a diplomat already. So, what? We had Bill for 2 weeks at the location in Perth Amboy. And we, each morning, we went in and talked about what successes we had the night before we rang the Freedom Bell. So what was one of your successes that you shared with us, Dean? Talk real loud at that, Mike.
I made some really good chocolate chip cookies.
Yes, yeah. So he made the chocolate. Did anybody eat them? I have to sample these before we share them. So I ate them and we gave crumbs to the kid. So, Dave, what was one of the things that you did that independently that you didn't do until you came to the Bell program?
I put my my fishing after meals into the sink instead of just setting them up, sort of just bringing them out.
Yeah.
He's working on feeding it after the door. He hasn't got that for you. It's not his door, you said, right?
Well,
kind of. It's a long story. Another diplomat. Another diplomat. So we have parents here. Jay, what did the Bell program teach you?
Caught off guard here. To go after what you need for your child and out there, and that there is another way to access when people tell you no. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, it was amazing, inclusive. It was educational. It stuck. It was generous, and it was an environment conducive to learning, and it kept them fun. Every day they came home, it seemed to happen.
Sorry, John, to make you happy in the learning. So, do you have a okay, so we were going to play this at the beginning, but we'll play it now, and then. Oh, yeah. Hold us the song. I got Carol's put me in code green. Mary Jo. Yeah. Oh, there you are. Mary Jo has been coordinating the Bell program since it's inception. I guess I've been doing it for 1 year. But she's been doing, and we also have now an assistant coordinator, Joanna Mallard, she went last year to help her, and this year she's going again to the meeting so she can learn more. So down the road, we can pass that torch, Mary Jo, probably, to Joanne. Not yet. Not yet. No way. I know. So we can have two coordinators. So Mary Jo, you've been doing this for 6 years, coming all the way from the Trenton area on Access Link, the hours, the time before. This is not a Dewey Bell program. This is a year-long program. There's meetings, there's conference calls. The Joe Ruffalo calls a conference call. Then he calls another conference. But it's important to do that. We get the kids involved in our calls if they want to be on it, the parents. So Mary Jo, what have you learned in the last 6 years about the Bell program?
I learned how important it was to see how the kids were able to go from not really knowing too much about Braille and everything and other activities and how they blossomed. And what fun it was to work with the kids. We did some really good things with them this year, besides the learning of Braille at the Sketch Fair, which I have to show people at the end of the thing. But they also did field trips, which we always do. And at the police station, we went to the police station. And the kids enjoyed it, and the police didn't ask if anybody had any questions. And one person asked, how long have you done your job? And the second person is, how much do you get paid? So these kids are thinking like in the 21st century. The second trip they went to Kingsburg, I wasn't on that trip, but Linda Melinda, who helped with the adult program as well, Alex Sullivan and Jonathan and the rest of us, they went to the program, and the parents were invited to go, and the siblings and the children also. But the kids walked with blind mentors. They were able to order their own food. These Woods of Recreation paid for their lunch and paid for some of the things on the trip. They paid for their lunch. They got on rides. And even though I'm sure it must have been a little hard for the parents not to get involved, they trusted their kids with these blind mentors, and the kids really enjoyed it. And this year we're hoping to do water park next year.
Nice.
I said it, but we went on the bumper cars, and those guys got me good. So Jonathan was doing this year. Jonathan was one of our assistant teachers. He came every day, on time every day, with a big smile on his face. I couldn't see if I could hear his voice. He really did a tremendous job. He and Joanne did a super job as their assistant. So, Jonathan, what did you learn about yourself or about the program?
All right, I said I definitely learned a lot. And in such a short period, it's possible to learn the entire Braille alphabet. I certainly didn't learn 2 weeks myself. And I also was a very rewarding being able to make a difference in every student's life at some point, some way, shape, or form.
We planted the seed. That's important. Right. And the is not only Rick Fox and Debbie Bloom. They come every year. They do a musical thing with them, and we did some beanbag tosses, and we did some kind of game that teaching Braille and stuff. So Rick and Debbie, thank you very much. And I asked them to do it for 1 year. It's a third year. The day 6 year are probably the end of June 28th or something like that to July 10th. So keep that in mind. I know you go down to the Jersey Shore around that time, so come home early. No. A huge thank, before we go on with some more questions here, goes to Ellen Sullivan. Ellen is our grant writer, and I remember she was here for about a month when we had our membership leadership meeting that Mary Fernandez coordinated, and she's only here a month, and I heard good things about her from Delaware. Oh, you got yourself a great lady. And we broke that to 6 different groups. She was in my group, which was, guess what, fundraising group. Just turned out that way.
Oh, yeah.
And she took the bull by the horn. Ellen, are you in a room?
Yeah.
Ellen, thank you. So you want to come up here, too?
I would love to say hello.
Well, come on up. Of course, Ellen came just about every day from Maplewood. Let's give Ellen the mic for a minute and ask Ellen, what did you learn about the Bell program this year?
I just learned how wonderful and rewarding it was to work with children that really want to learn, are really motivated, have a good sense of humor, a good sense of themselves, and they just were willing to put themselves out there and learn and eat it up, and it was a lot of fun, so thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you for letting me be part of the Bell program.
Yay! Now, Linda, what do you have set up here? Okay. And then at the end, we'll do the interview that you did, if you have that there. What was your one? Oh, I know what you're trying to play.
Because you're trying to show
We're going to come back to Linda. She's still in code green, which is good. Work around. So this year, guys, the Bell program will be a little bit earlier because the national convention is now July 14th to the 19th. So this year's Bell activity will be, I think it's June 28th, whatever that Monday is. 4 days that week, because on Saturday is July 4th, and we'll take the third off because of traffic problems. So we'll do 4 days the first week and five the second week. And you just heard we're planning on taking you guys to the water park. So we should have some fun. And yes, we will finish with ice cream. Absolutely. We have to do it. No, do it. I'm not going with ice cream. So, Dean, you're in the Belleville school system. Wait. Different school district. Okay. So you're now in school. You just started school, and you're enjoying every minute of it, aren't you?
Yes,
actually. There you go. And Nate, you're in what grade are you now? In fifth? Fifth grade, and you're enjoying every minute of school? These kids are good.
I'm also not top dog.
They came in with some good jokes that I stole. Be careful. Carol, would you like to say something about the Bell program? Because Carol is, she's there. She helps out with her advice. And what other great resource do you have with Carol, who has been there for every kid in the state? So, Carol, you have any comments?
Well, I find the Bell program to be kind of an amazing thing because a lot of times, as you know, the students don't get Braille in school. And it can be an uphill battle. So to provide a place where they not only get it, but they get it with enthusiasm and fun and an attitude of like, this is the greatest thing. Braille is the greatest thing. And then they learn all the ADL skills and they go on these trips and they learn mobility and independent skills. To me, that is like the whole package. You know, we can offer that with these great blind mentors. So I just think it's a wonderful thing. You probably know we're doing it across the country. And we can only do a couple of kids at a time or, you know, relatively small groups at a time. But what a difference it makes in people's lives. So I just think it's great.
Super. We talked about this. Talked about expanding the Bell program. What do I mean by that? We have the kids for 2 weeks. We want to expand it a little bit longer than that. And with me being in the hospital and with Linda having her knee surgery, we just backlogged it a little bit. And I was hoping to make an announcement here. Probably we'll start in the spring, I think. A very pilot program with our students who have been in Bell program to assign them to partner with another mentor. A mentor who's been in the Bell program. So they may have, Jonathan as his mentor, and they'll do Braille and they'll talk about Braille. But the more important than that, they will have someone to talk to. They'll meet at the mall and have a slice of pizza and get them. We want to show these kids that we're out there for them. So we're going to expand it. We'll have a meeting about that. As Linda says, plan of action. We learned the plan of action with Mary Fernandez.
That's right.
Drives me crazy, Mary Fernandez. No, but it's so true. So we wanted to, and we've really raised a lot of funds through the grant and through the generosity of many people here. As you know, Ed Lutero has passed away. I remember coming home from the National Convention, seeing this young little girl up there from Georgia, giving her heart and soul to a speech about their Bell program. I remember turning around in our affiliate, turned around and Carol was there and Gerald and some of the people. I said, I don't know how we're going to do it. We're doing Bell. I don't know where we're going to have it. I don't know who the teacher is. I don't know how we're going to raise money, but we're doing it.
Okay.
And coming home that a month later, I was talking to Ellen Tara about it. And he said, Joe, you guys do so much. And I usually pay Ed and usually refuse his payment. Not only did he refuse payment, he handed me our first $200 check to start the Bell program. Ed has passed away and has left his home to the National Federation of the Blind. I'll talk more about this Sunday. And we sold the house and we got some money from it, quite a bit of money. And I mentioned to his family that we're going to have a scholarship in his name. And we're going to do something with some of that money for the Bell kids. We have some ideas. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. So, let me just end it because it's just about 12 o'clock. Look at your agenda. There's a couple different lunches going on. We're going to give you guys some lunch tickets. Mom and Bell kids, okay? Linda, you can have the coupons. You all sit there. And
Banquet
Exchange in the back of the room. We also have shirt sales back there, I think.
First timers lunch.
And Landon, first timers lunch was who's running that? Who's going to be in the front?
I'll be there.
Okay, good. All right, we have first timers lunch. It's in the agenda. I forget what room it's in. Help me out.
To be a determined.
Wait for announcement. Okay, we have an announcement. I guess it's going to be in the room where we have breakfast. Is that room available? Yes. So that's Crystal Room BC. Hey, I'll get it right sooner or later. Crystal Room A for any first timer. Grab lunch, come in there. Jane's got to just sit around and do that stuff. There's a student lunch. Where's the student lunch, guys? Roby Room, you guys have pizza coming in. Shannon, will you go to that meeting? Thank you, and Leah, if you can get there. And Mary. Hold on, guys. We have a final door prize. If you want to leave, go right ahead.
Quiet! Water!
Harold's got to read with his meeting card. We've got to change it.
So registration will be open 12 to 1:30 outside the Jade Room, which isn't actually correct now. It's like in that little alcove by the Jade Room. Banquet ticket exchange is in the back of this room. First timers lunch will be in whatever that was that we had breakfast in. Student division will have a meeting in the Ruby Room from 12 to 1:45. And I think will lunch be in there, or they should grab their lunch first? Okay, pizza will be in there. Can I be a student? The Deafblind Committee meeting will be in the Emerald Room from 12 to 12:30, followed by the CBDI Deafblind Focus Group, and they'll stay in the Emerald Room. And then the parents meeting will be back in this room after you have your lunch. Come in here from 1 to 1:45.
Okay, one last door prize.
Okay. 1:45.
1:45, be back here.
Before I do the last door prize, if anyone is missing like a winter like ski hat, it's purple and blue and green. It has been turned into the door prize table, so you can come pick it up.
Anybody lose a ski hat, purple, green, blue, or whatever? Come on, what is door prize B? Go for it.
So we have a box of three stackable Christmas bowls and a little bar of soap. And that is going to Jennifer Stewart.
She's not here, but she's in the reason why.
She's not here.
Not here. What about Sherlock Washington?
I'm right here.
Some stackable balls. Let's get it.
For the students.
It's in the top left.
Oh, I got it.